Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I hope you all had a very, very nice long weekend, a long Labor Day weekend, in which you were able, in the midst of your relaxation, to think back to the heroic sacrifice that went into the formation of Labor Day. We had a dandy one Saturday, went down into the Coal River Valley, and we had our apple butter making. Lorella and Nick hosted, and what a fine time we had, and what a bunch of apple butter we made. And for a first batch, it wasn't bad. I think I was a little heavy-handed with the apple butter. You could probably use it as a dental anesthetic, but I like clove anyway. Heavy-handed with the clove is what I meant. A lot of clove in there, and just a sort of a base note of cinnamon. But had some on biscuits this morning. It was mighty good. Mighty good. And no fat. How about that? Yummy stuff. Listen, we're going to be all over the place tonight. I hope so. I hope I won't get any hate mail for talking about the Sarah Palin thing or the Bristol Palin thing. I have a personal theory, by the way. I think Bristol Palin was named after what her mommy and daddy were drinking the night that they conceived her. Keith Olbermann said he thought she was named Bristol after Bristol, Connecticut, where Sarah Palin at one time wanted to work. She wanted to be a sportscaster for ESPN. I think she's named after Harvey's Bristol Cream, but that's me. We are going to be talking about this tonight because there are issues beyond the tawdry, seedy, sort of sleazy qualities of it all that really go to the heart and soul of how we politic in this country and what's fair game, and as well as going to the very lack of honesty of the McCain campaign. So I thought we would start by talking to White Rose Society webmaster, all-around hardest-working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, because Ben Birch knows Wikipedia. Ben Birch is an editor at Wikipedia, among other things. Ben Birch is also a defender of the wiki. He holds the award, Defender of the Wiki. And I figured if anybody could tell us about the inner workings of Wikipedia, it would be Ben Birch. Hey, Ben.
Hey there.
How are you?
You know, it's an interesting thing. I've been reviewing the edit history of Sarah Palin's article here at Wikipedia. And, you know, until she was nominated, it was pretty much what you'd expect. There were less than 1,000 edits ever to her article from the time she, you know, first went into it back in 2005 until August 28th. There was really nothing that had happened to her article. At all, you know. But here we look, you know, we look at it from the time she was announced, and all of a sudden, all of these people appear, and in fact, just before she was announced, people appear and start scrubbing negative references out of the article and adding all kinds of biographical information, as though this was orchestrated somehow by the McCain camp to make sure that when journalists, as they are wont to do, upon hearing Sarah who was made VP choice, would look at Wikipedia to find some quick background information for their first newscast, that all they would see would be positive stuff. So somebody stacked the deck here. Somebody went in ahead of time and added all kinds of positive stuff and took out all kinds of negative stuff.
So can you go back and see what was there?
Oh, absolutely. Wikipedia stores all of its history, and so not only can you see what was there at any particular date and time, but you can see who changed what, and what was changed. And I see a lot of edits back here August 24th by a guy named Ferry Lodge, who also seems to have edited a lot of other Republican articles. And they all seem to be article changes that that were pushing it towards a positive spin article. And then August 28th, starting at 8:10 in the morning, somebody named Young Trigg shows up.
Oh, that's just twisted.
And Young Trigg, whose very first edit was to the Sarah Palin article and has made, in fact, no other edits that I can see, seems to have shown up just to fill in all the biographical details, and that was 8:10 in the morning on the 28th of August.
So that would be just as the announcement was pending?
I think that was just before the announcement.
About 24 hours before, wasn't it?
I think so. I think I think what she was announced that morning on the 28th.
No, that was that the 28th was Thursday. No. Yeah, 28th was Thursday. They announced her Friday morning.
Oh, okay. Well, Young Trigg started 24 hours early.
So obviously Young Trigg probably had some knowledge.
I would say so, and I'm sure Mr. Ferry Lodge here had some knowledge as well. That something was.
All right, is it possible to see if Ferry Lodge has made any edits on, say, John McCain's Wikipedia entry?
Well, let me look. Let me see. I'll just do a quick open here.
Because we all know this, Wikipedia is supposed to be a neutral source for information. It's not supposed to be slanted. It's not supposed to be biased. It's supposed to be an encyclopedia.
Well, he's made a lot of entries to John McCain. He's made a lot of edits to John McCain's entry.
Well, bless my soul.
A lot of edits to John McCain's. He's been changing things on the Alaska Public Safety Commission. And oh, here's some edits to Ronald Reagan.
Lord.
Let me see. I'm only back to August 28th here.
So what happens, Ben, when somebody goes in and monkeys with a wiki?
He's editing Joe Biden's entry, too.
Dirty.
McCain's entry and Cindy McCain's entry. And Pat Nixon's entry.
Pat Nixon?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
So obviously,
but it's essentially dishonest, isn't it?
A Republican operative of some description, whether officially or unofficially, Young Trigg is what we at Wikipedia call a single-purpose editor, who these people usually exist only to slant an article and are usually associated with the subject of the article when it's a biography of living persons article.
So, what kind of negative stuff would they necessarily have wanted to scrub?
Well, it looks like they were changing things about a dairy closure, and they were changing things about the Trooper Gate scandal.
Well, it's interesting because there's
information.
It's interesting because there's other stuff on there that I saw as part of a newspaper article referencing it. Apparently, she makes some sort of, Sarah Palin's Wikipedia page makes some sort of reference to her winning Miss Congeniality in the 1984 Miss Alaska pageant.
It does, and that was added by, I don't forget which one of these two, but one of these two added that.
Okay, well, that's a lie.
It would appear to be the case, yes.
And
I've been trying to track down whether that's a lie or not, but
the girl who won Miss Congeniality that year says it's a lie.
Well, I tend to believe her then.
Her name is Amy Gwynn, Gwin. She lives in Missouri now.
Well, you know, this isn't the first lie we've seen here. Wikipedia becomes a battleground pretty quickly on subjects like this. Like I said, there have been only 1,000 edits total in the life of the article, and now there are I had to go back through about 20 pages of edits.
How old is the article itself, Ben?
Beg your pardon?
How old is the article itself?
Let me see. It's the earliest. The earliest was 19 October 2005.
So that would be somewhere along about her run for governor?
Yes.
Or her consideration of a run for governor?
Yes, that would appear to have to do with her original campaigning.
So how will this get remedied?
Remedied is there right now, like I said, there have been dozens and dozens of pages of edits. Wikipedia is something that everybody can edit, and everybody does. And so if you've got any real misinformation in a Wikipedia article, someone's going to remove it. Because, you know, there are certain standards that people try to maintain in Wikipedia, but in an article like this, it's really impossible to say that the article is representative at all at any given instant. It's just because somebody with a point of view to push may have just edited the article the second before you retrieved it. Wikipedia is really good at non-controversial articles, like the article on, you know, the second law of thermodynamics. Well, you know, it hasn't changed in a while.
Right. Boyle's gas laws. Right.
Yeah, Boyle's gas laws, things like that. You know, they're not controversial. People try to add new things like little graphics to them and graphs and you know, change commas and put in citations. But the meat of the article doesn't really change. In this article, there are so many thousands of edits. I mean, just since I started looking at this thing. You know, let me look here. Let's see the newest, latest entries. There is like an edit every 2 minutes here all day today. People are changing them all over the place. Mr. Fairy Lodge is still involved in changing it, although Young Trigg stopped editing on the first. And I see a number of other people here who have been deeply involved in editing political articles over the years, in this edit history. So it's become a war ground. It's become a battleground article. And so I think essentially valueless until things settle down. Because even though you could find something in there that was wrong and you could show that a citation didn't say what they claim a citation said it said, if you remove that, somebody would just put it right back in.
Okay, but in terms of how we talk about something like this, Is there an ethos? Is there a morality, if you will, about Wikipedia? Is it a fair statement to say that someone dishonestly or with ill intent edited an article?
Oh yeah, you certainly can. Several things have to be true about an article in Wikipedia for it to be a proper article. One is it must maintain a neutral point of view. It must not take any given side in an issue, but must show what is, as far as can be determined by references to published media, that is books, magazines, journals, websites of mainstream news organizations, the conventional view of a particular thing. Okay? It's not intended for you to post your breaking research or your new information about somebody, number one. Number two, anything you put in Wikipedia should be cited. It should be cited to a secondary reference, not to a primary source, not to, for example, the actual utterances of a person, but to some article where a commentator passing through editorial review at some newspaper or some book publisher has discussed the words of the primary source and derived analysis of them, and it should be with the in terms of biographies of living persons, you're supposed to be even more careful than with, you know, doing things about dead poets, because biographies of living persons can involve, you know, the specter of libel.
Right. Well, yeah.
So everything you must put in biographies of living persons must be well researched.
So let's say you're a member of the for-profit media, Ben, and you are giving a young cub reporter guidance on using Wikipedia information. What would you tell him?
I tell him that Wikipedia is a starting place, and you should never use a single thing you see in there as your sole basis for an article. You need to go out and check references.
And where politicians are concerned, is it safe to say that we just can't trust the information?
Unless they've been buried for a few years, yeah.
Okay. Well,
I think the Ronald Reagan article is actually pretty good, by the way.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Does it have the ketchup as a vegetable part?
You know, I don't think it does because that was kind of trivial. But it certainly has a Ron Contra in it.
Yeah, that wasn't, was it? That wasn't trivial.
No, that wasn't trivial at all.
Well, Ben, I really appreciate your input. I thank you very much. And one of these days you'll have to teach me how to deal with all this, because I find Wikipedia fascinating. And
it is fascinating. It's really a huge experiment. Can we make an encyclopedia that everyone can edit and still have it not be gobbledygook? And, you know, with respect, like I say, with respect to things that are not horribly controversial, like, you know,
the quadratic equation.
Lepidoptera. You know, moths.
Yes.
You know, you want to read up on moths? You're probably going to find a really good summary of what is known about moths and cites to textbooks in there. You know, you want to read up on the moon? You're going to find a really good summary of the moon and what is known about it.
Or RAM memory voltages.
Yeah. Well, maybe not voltages, but certainly how RAMs work and the classifications of RAMs. And, you know, certainly there'd be sites in there. You know, following the references to some of these articles is more valuable sometimes than the article.
Yeah.
You know, you want to know what a short synchronome clock is? You can find that. That, by the way, being a really old kind of electromechanical clock. That sort of thing, you can find that in Wikipedia, and you can usually pretty much rely upon it. But I would, you know, even not just a reporter, but if I were a teacher, I would tell students never depend on Wikipedia as your primary source. Do not copy stuff from Wikipedia.
And don't cite it as fact.
Yeah, do not treat it as fact. Treat it as your gateway to fact. And then you won't go far wrong. You know, see what it says there and go check it all out for yourself, because then you've got a few starting points to start researching.
Lastly, can you get a sense as to who's more prone to diddling the facts, right-wingers or left?
You know, I wish I could tell you it was just right-wingers, but I think it's almost equal. I think it's almost equal, because there's somebody out there going to diddle the facts on any given thing.
Poor little facts.
You know, 300 million people, all with keyboards, it's the infinite monkey syndrome.
Can't wait till Hamlet turns up.
That's right.
Ben Birch, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Take care, sir.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That, of course, Ben Birch, the guy who makes all the streaming happen here on the Horn. By the way, if you're confused or wondering or anything, no, the program has not been taken over by somebody who has a voice that's a cross between Peppermint Patty and Clint Eastwood. I've got a bit of a sore throat going on, so we'll just try to muddle through, and hopefully I won't be doing the whole Gomer Pyle, "Sergeant Carter, I can't sing" thing by the end of the program. Yeah, we just got to hope. And we're going to go right back to the phones in a second, but I also want to let you know, got a conversation scheduled for tomorrow evening with Mark Carlin of BuzzFlash. We will be talking about the BuzzFlash Progressive Working Class Conference slated in Philadelphia for September the 27th. The Horn will be there, and for those people who cannot make it to Philadelphia, we will be making sure that folks are able to attend at a distance via the miracle the little miracle, the little technological miracle comprised of a hell of a lot of hard work that is, in fact, the horn. So I'm looking forward to that conversation as well. So let's, you know, we're raising funds for that. In addition to the usual $2,000 it takes, and that is a modest sum, I assure you, that it takes to keep the horn on the air every month, we're seeking an additional $1,000 to get us there this month, to get us to Philadelphia to cover, you know, the car, the gas, the hotels. Got to be there a night in advance, you know, so we can make sure that you don't want to be trying to make everything work 15 minutes before it starts, if you know what I mean. So if you can help out, please do so. We have been generously assisted by some amazing folks. Preston kicked in to the pot. Aaron kicked in to the pot big time. So did Mara. And we're really not that far away from being over the hump on this. So it's really quite exciting, and I can't wait to talk to Mark Carlin about how this conference came into being, where the spark of the idea, where the seed of the idea came from, and just how many people we think that we can reach out to with the Horn streaming servers. That's Saturday, September the 27th, from about 9 a.m. to about 6 p.m. I think you'll be really, really thrilled with what you get to hear. Phones. Yeah, we have phones. Let us go, therefore, unto them. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Yes.
Hey, it's Sandra.
Hey, Sandra, what's up?
Enjoyed the coverage last week. That sounded like you guys had a good time.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I know you weren't there, but you were, like, running the, you were producing, weren't you?
Yeah, I was back. I was here in the chair just sort of trying to steer the Titanic around the icebergs.
Yeah, no, that just sounded like, you know, a good time, man.
I was really proud of our coverage, Sandra.
Yeah, no, I thought the coverage was good. No, I listened to, you know, quite a bit of that. In fact, you know, I kept going back to the horn because, you know, some of the other stuff is a bit, yeah.
Yeah, how much Chris Matthews can you really take?
Oh, no, you know what? Yikes. C-SPAN. I was C-SPANed out. That was the best. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No gibberish, no nothing. Yeah, and a live band was on hit. Yeah, that was a good convention.
Unfortunately, they couldn't pull anything similar off in Minneapolis.
Listen, that's even more funny, though, because it's just so drastic. It's like we get the, when they're going to have the idiot Chuckle Nuts video speaking tonight. They can't shake the fool.
Yeah, dumb leader's going to speak by satellite connection.
And, you know, I can't wait to see that Spinetic Giuliani. God, he's a fucking frightening.
Yeah, I wish he'd just do the drag thing and come on up, you know, and come on out.
No, it's, you know, anyway, it's already so frightening, the violence, hello, the violence that's going down in that city. I'm so amazed and appalled. Can you believe, have you noticed?
I can't figure out why. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just sort of, I just think it's, you know, more trying to get people conditioned to welcome in the police state because there ain't enough people for them to be warranting this show of force, but it's off the hook.
Well, that's kind of where I am, Sandra. You know how I am. I look down in the corner of paintings at the brush strokes.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at that too, and I think that it's.
And I mean, I'm looking at all the footage of these black clad stormtroopers
exactly.
With their masked heads and no visible indication of identity, and their long Asian style beat down rods.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, you know, the costuming alone must have cost a fortune.
Yeah, and not only that, but the sort of Minority Report sort of pre-crime stuff that they're trying to...
Glenn Greenwald's coverage at Salon of all the pre-crime stuff was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, no, that was great. And trying to understand just how blatantly unconstitutional it is and also the criminality of the for-profit media because they're not touching it. And they won't touch it because I just think it's, let's just practice on the so-called left in this country. Who cares, right?
Right, and you know, CNN's coverage said many people arrested in Minneapolis.
No, it ain't many people. It's brutal. I mean, the footage I've seen.
Have you seen? I mean, what? How are they using this pepper spray, Sandra? I mean, I'm not being a smartass. It's like they've got. They've got some sort of, you know, super soaker or...
From the air, because if that Donna Brazil got it, how the hell she got sprayed?
Ain't that the truth?
You know,
but, I mean, I've seen streams of this stuff that look like it's coming out of a garden hose.
No, I'm like, I was thinking about that, too, because all of a sudden all these, you know, well-known types are getting caught up in it. So I think they just must be going buck wild.
Oh, I see this footage, Sandra, and I'm thinking... Bull Connor, your legacy is here. Bull Connor, your legacy is here.
Oh, and it's just, to me, it's just sort of, it's just totalitarianism, you know, American style. Because everyone's so stupid. I don't know if they're stupefied or what. They don't seem to remember the Bill of Rights or the various protections that you have. Have you noticed how that's just sort of gone now?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, they
want to do?
They were being mean to Guy James in Denver. Don't take a photograph of us. You know, what? Yeah, they told Guy James he couldn't take a photograph.
And that footage of Amy Goodman being arrested was heartbreaking. I can't believe how they manhandled that woman. She's not, like, young. I thought, are they kidding? Is this a joke? It was horrible. I don't know if you saw that footage.
Yeah, I did. I saw the footage of her producer getting taken down.
That was ridiculous. That was hideous, too. The poor woman was screaming. You know, one guy was pulling her leg, and the other one had a foot on a woman's back. You understand what I'm saying? These people ain't done nothing.
And you know what? This is one of my little moments of regional bias, if you'll forgive me, Sandra. I expect that kind of conduct in Birmingham and Selma, okay? I expect that kind of conduct in Texas. I expect it in Missouri, and I expect it in New York. I expect it in Denver or Phoenix. But this is Minnesota. In Minnesota, they're supposed to come up and say, now you guys go along now. Get along about your business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, but the thing that's interesting is how, you know, like I said, they're training it on the left, and it's so interesting to look at these young sort of young white kids who they're still nonchalant about it, you know, and it's just like, it's starting to creep into other segments of society, not just brown people. You know what I mean?
No. There are lots of white kids getting hosed down in Minneapolis.
Most of them are, you know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because
because if it had been brown skinned people, there would have been outright killings, Sandra. I mean, let's be.
Well, no, I was about to shift. At the same time, you have these horrific ICE endeavors, which are just totally frightening. Straight up. Central America, South American, junta type. It's really off the chain, the whole ICE thing in this country now. And it's like people don't even care because it's so-called immigrants, but they can shift that shit to us very easily.
The idea of jackbooted stormtroopers on the shores of Lake Wobegon is completely violative of my vision of America, Sandra.
Where is this lake? Is this in Minnesota?
No, you know, Garrison Keillor and his whole little made up, you know, where all the men are strong, all the women are pretty, and all the children are above average.
Yeah, well, I have issues with that Garrison Keillor.
Oh, me too. No black folk in Lake Wobegon.
No, I don't, you know, that's like, you know, I used to listen to NPR, and, you know, that was like, when that stuff was on, it was like, oh, time to go. You know what I mean? Straight up, out of it, bye. Yeah, no, I am just sort of.
But see, what I find really bothersome is in as an excuse for all the violence that the cops perpetrated, they said, well, you know, some people in the, there were some, the people did damage, but they were destructive and they were violent. Well, hey, I got a pretty good idea who the violent people were, because if you read Glenn Greenwald's coverage, you know that, the pre-crime raids that were done as a result of the cooperation of informants who had infiltrated the peace groups, environmental groups, women's rights groups. Everybody there were infiltrated. Earth Justice, okay, was infiltrated.
Well, no, and this just speaks to the never-ending 8 years of domestic spying they've been able to do. Don't tell me that they haven't turned all eyes on what they consider, you know, weak-ass American dissidents, which is nothing. Come on, man. That ain't nothing. Them little white kids are just doing a little protesting. They don't know what dissident is. You see what I'm saying? And they're freaking out about those kids? Please. I don't know. I'm just sort of...
Now, this is all warm-up stuff.
No, it's horrible, and it's really, you know, I don't...
Look, Amy Goodman was charged with a misdemeanor, okay? She's out.
Her peeps were charged with felonies.
Yes, they were. They were charged with felonies.
Mm.
And those things are not cheap to defend. This is all chilling effect stuff.
No, it's outrageous because, okay, maybe Democracy Now! Isn't ABC News, but listen, she's been at it for a while. She's, you know, quote, well-respected. And the sort of indifference that's being shown to the media, it's like a wake-up call, yet they don't seem to be awake, you know?
And, you know, as long as nothing happened to the for-profit media, is fine with it.
Well, no, but they're in cahoots. It's like hand-in-hand with the...
No, that's what I mean. They're collaborators.
Apparatus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Oh, by the way, quick gear shift. Rudy Giuliani has been pulled from the program.
No, he hasn't. What? Why? Why?
I wish I knew, but that just came in from alert listener David in Tennessee. He says, Rudy will not speak. Detail sketchy, but no Rudy.
No, but you know what? This convention is just turning into a disaster, isn't it? They thought they were going to be slick with this Katrina 2 that didn't happen. And look how it looks. Look what it looks like. It's a bit of a mess, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah, it's a lot of a mess.
And, you know, and let's just move on to this... freak that is a heartbeat away from the presidency should McCain win. Who's this chick?
Really, who is she?
You know, I mean, she's some sort of freak from what I can tell with her shooting animals from a plane. She should be...
Yeah, by the way, the word for that is safari.
No, the word for that is crazy and freakish because... I really dream of pounding some poor animal until it's exhausted, land my little plane, and then shoot it point blank. Ooh, that's thrilling. You know, what's wrong with these people?
I've got an email that just rolled in from our pal Cindy in the Great Northwest. She says, you know, who let the dogs out? She says, I've got a question about the brown shirt treatment across America. You didn't expect it in Minnesota, Bob? What kind of criminal, thug, self-interested, traitorous Nazi personality does it take to become one of these thug cops and do this to their own people?
Well, that's the interesting question. It's like now they've generated enough interest in it where we have people who will turn on their own population. Yeah, that's a good point. Great point.
And the thing is with these with these thugs, and they are thugs. You know, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, you know, the duck test. I don't know how you can call them anything but thugs, because when you're beating up people who aren't doing anything, you know, these are, you know, let's quit calling it pepper spray. It's you might make a mistake in the morning when you're spraying your updo with the Aquanet and get the pepper spray instead. Bullshit. This is a chemical weapon. Okay. Chemical weapons have been turned on American citizens in Minneapolis. And to let it be described any other way is dishonest. This isn't America. This is Kristallnacht for America.
Well, no, yeah, and it's the thing is it seems so over the top, the amount of force. Because what are you talking about? A few thousand people? 100 people here, a few people standing on the corner. Apparently, they're breaking up any more than 4 people. They're wielding batons on these people.
Yeah, everything is in an illegal assembly at this point.
I don't know where that's going to end. I mean, this is only the second day of this madness. How long does it go on for, this convention? And
2 more, I think.
And so is that woman going to give her little speech on her own, or are they going to yank her before?
Well, it'll be like a call and response kind of thing. Did I lose you, Sandra?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. There was a... I think it'll be like a call and... you know, we've got values. Yes, we do. We've got values. How about you? You know, that's what it's going to be.
No, but some people are speculating that she may not make it. They may have to yank her.
Oh, you mean, because see, this, they had to have her, Sandra. I mean, she is, she's done more. We're sitting here with that, this sort of slack-jawed incredulousness to us, but we're us and we live in this little reality bubble. James Dobson has come out and done everything except, you know, abuse himself in public over her. The same thing with Tony Perkins from, you know, the Family Values Coalition Council, whatever they are.
Have you seen, what is his name? He writes about the right. He basically suggested that there was a huge meeting.
There was. It's not a suggestion. There really was. There's this creepy little uber secret organization.
Right.
And I'm not talking about conspiracy theory. They acknowledge they exist.
Yeah, no, they met last week and was all happy about, I mean, this is what they want. So now the right is on board with this McCain business. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well,
and they weren't before. I mean, I got some other guy out there. Maybe it's Grover Norquist or somebody saying, oh, well, Sarah Palin walks the talk.
Oh, no. He's for it. All those people. Yeah, I hear that whole group.
And until they came up with her, that whole wing of the psychotic pig-licking party had gone to sleep. They were napping in the lazy boy. They weren't coming out in November. Now they're energized. They ain't going to dump her.
No, but see, and that's the Republican Party. Oh.
And what scares me, Sandra, is the fact that we're liable to play the game because they've got it all. They think they've got it all set up where we can't say anything about you. Michael Moore posts vicious rumor about Sarah Palin. What's vicious about suggesting that, you know, yeah, because Sarah Palin would be the first woman who ever covered a teen pregnancy by saying the baby was hers.
Oh, please. The thing about did you see some of the pictures of her so-called boyfriend, that Neanderthal?
I haven't gotten around to the photos yet, but I've certainly read the excerpts from his from his MySpace page, and those are certainly illuminating.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's really frightening, and it's just sort of like, wow. I really don't want a bird's eye view of this of their family values. It's pretty scary.
Well, I love this one graphic that I saw at BartCop today. It's that whole creepy fundamentalist Palin family, and there's a caption underneath that says, yo, it's a vagina, not a clown car. And I had to giggle.
Oh my god, well, I guess she didn't do the purity ring with her father, prom ale, huh? Or
no, I'm guessing they did, because it's those people that wind up pregnant at 17.
I know. I just mentioned it because that so freaked me out. You know, it's something, it's just sick. When you go out with your daddy, I mean, all of it is weird.
Oh, but you know what? Let's assume for a moment that the poor little Down syndrome child really was Sarah Palin's. Let's just make that assumption. Let's look at the timeline, Sandra. She got, before the baby was born, okay, she announces the pregnancy at 7 months and then goes gallivanting around the country. She's in Texas when she says, well, my water didn't break, you know, but like I was leaking a little bit, so I got back on the plane and went home to Alaska.
Well, yeah, no, the Down syndrome, to me, I'm just thinking, oh, maybe it's, you know, some incest and this is the second child from this 17-year-old. I don't care. I'll say it. You know, because I think all kinds of nasty.
Well, the thing, that's what I'm saying. It's even creepier if it really is Sarah Palin's, because here she is, all pro-life, right?
Yeah.
She's pro-life, and she has amniocentesis. Now, amniocentesis carries with it a significant risk of spontaneous abortion. It just does.
Yeah, well,
and she's going to keep this baby one way or the other. What does she care if it's born with a little arm sticking out of its head? It's just a gift from God. Why does she need amniocentesis? I mean, it's like the old Star Trek movie. You know, what's God need with a starship?
Well, why do you think she needed it then?
I think she was hoping that the spontaneous abortion would kick in. Oh, Jesus took him home before his time. He's back in the arms of God.
Well, listen, McCain won't show the black baby. What happened to that baby? Do you know?
She's grown. She's grown up. I saw a picture of her walking with old 894 and the beer heiress the other day.
Oh, okay. So she's not hidden. I thought maybe they did a strong sermon on that child.
No, they let her out in public periodically.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, well, what?
Ain't taking her to. They ain't taking her to South Carolina though. You can bet your. No. That ain't gonna happen.
I'm amazed all these conversations that I have. They always seem to just degenerate into just name calling. I know that's my fault.
But no, they don't degenerate into that. We just go where those sorry bastards live.
Oh God. Well, no, but I should. You know, actually, you kind of frightened me with that. So they want her, and they're going to keep her, and people are going to vote for this freak show.
They're going to come out of the woodwork like what happens in a cockroach apartment when the lights go out, Sandra. The fundamentalists are, I mean, they're going
to
vote early and vote often.
Oh.
Those Diebold machines and those optical scanners are going to smoke in the fundy precincts.
Well, I almost laughed out loud when Obama came out with the old families off limit. I'm like, come on, yo.
I read that, and I just, damn. Oh, God, they're going to send him windsurfing any minute now.
Oh, God, I was like, no, just don't say nothing. You don't need to come out with that gibberish. You know
no, because you know what? It is fair game.
It is fair game because they want abstinence only in the whole nine yards, so it's policy, so it's fair game, right?
Absolutely. You know what? Just transpose it. Let's say Chelsea Clinton got pregnant at 17. What would Rush Limbaugh have said?
Oh, now, please, it would just be a field day.
I mean, this is a guy who, you know, she was just an ordinary little girl trying to grow up in painful and extraordinary situations, and that rotten son of a bitch called her the White House dog.
Well, I mean, what if Michelle had an older kid pop up from somewhere? You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
He's in her 40s. Is she quite could possibly have?
They are, even as we speak, the Rapig Lickens are scouring Kenya, Hawaii, anywhere, looking for, the little unacknowledged Obama child.
Right. Or, you know, just some black something that they can, you know what I mean? Because.
Now there is some delightful irony in all of this. If they turned up a little African American, Obama baby, wouldn't be that big a deal. They're looking for a little white baby. Because that's how they are. That's what they want. They dream of it. It invigorates their morning coffee, you know, half a pot of coffee, half a pack of Marlboro Reds, and some right-wing repig-licking dreams of a little white Obama baby. You know, that's what gets them through the day.
No, but it's so sickening how this is looked upon as some sort of celebration, the fact that her 17-year-old kid.
Yeah, is, no, what a, no, hey, look, Jamie Lynn Spears.
Oh, that's right.
Was
that's
a right. Big deal. And it was just precious. And what? Yeah, let's set some examples. Yeah, God, I remember when Neil Bortz used to say, our children will be having more oral sex because of Bill Clinton.
Don't even mention that guy. He's an idiot.
But I mean, if that's the standard, what is Sarah Palin and her children? What does that say for for the rest of, you know, our children are going to be having more babies because of Sarah Palin? I don't know. Let's compare. Outcome of oral sex versus outcome of unprotected pregnancy sex. You know, I mean, but all of this, you know, she's decided she's going to keep the baby. You know, that's sexism. That is the most stinking, repugnant form of sexism.
And she's going to have to marry the Neanderthal. You know what I mean? The whole thing is like this poor child is just a victim of their horrible policies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And the thing is, what kills me about this is how it's not even being not so much this story, but the idea that McNutt is cancer ridden. Good chance he might pop off during his term, and we have President Palin. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
Why isn't this not being discussed? This man is 72, and is not in good health, and this woman is what's in charge.
That's got to be discussed.
Well, it's not. I haven't seen that.
No, anymore. It's not. Not any more than Dan Quayle was discussed. You know, that's not fair. You're just assuming that he's stupid because he's ignorant. That's not fair. And we want our privacy respected, and it's not fair if you talk about our poor little 17-year-old who got pregnant because we didn't have enough common sense to tell her to tell the boyfriend to rap the rascal. It's not fair.
No, I mean, only with Republicans can this just go on and be spun in a way that's palatable for people, when it's completely, the hypocrisy is mind-numbing. But
well, some right-winger was asked about it, and somebody told me about this earlier today. Some right-winger was asked about, it was Phyllis Schlafly, that's right. Phyllis Schlafly was
alive.
Well, you know, they take her home and put her in a bed with a handful of soil from her native land and give her a
you know
she and Keith Richards have the same blood transfusion guy.
They look the same at this point.
Somebody asked her about it, and she's a liberal would have aborted that baby. Next question.
Oh, that's their retort.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. All of it is just so disgusting. And it's,
you know what? I want ultrasounds done on this baby, and I want this baby signed up for the military before it's born.
No, I can't believe that the issues are not being discussed now. This is the thing that's really bugging me.
Did you see the response to the questionnaire she answered 2 years ago?
Oh God, no.
Are you offended by the words "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, that's right. That dumb bitch didn't even know that it was written in 1960.
Absolutely not. If it was good enough for the founders of this country, it's good enough for me.
The founders that were around in 1954, right?
Bingo.
God damn. Yeah, I saw that. I thought, you know what? You should not even be allowed to be in public office if you don't know shit like that. You know what I mean?
See, I was saying to Agnes the other day, I would love to be at one of those little question and answer things where and just really, really be all stealth and say, Governor Palin, I just want to let you know that I'm so proud of you for being pro-life and standing up for Jesus and God. You know, I've forgotten. I don't have it with me here. Which article of the Constitution does it talk about under God?
Please, the Bible says that life begins when a baby takes a damn breath.
Right.
Does it say anything about a damn
breath? The breath of life. The breath of life.
Yeah, I mean, no. All of it is just disgusting because it's just all so false, you know?
And, you know, in a way, I kind of, and this is the saddest thing. I feel sorry. You know, she may be a total brat, but my initial inclination is to feel sorry for the 17-year-old.
Oh, no, I feel really bad for her. No, I think it's so narcissistic of this woman to just, you know, thrust this poor teenager out there.
You will have this baby for the Reich and for my career, and that is what you are going to do.
Right, no, it's beyond the beyond. It's not what I would. It's not how I would treat.
But we could, you know, we can go. You know, McCain. This is the one. This goes to honesty. Okay, Sandra. This is a real, live, honest to God, fundamental honesty issue. John McCain. You know, Thursday night after the Democratic convention closed, they ran this smarmy ass commercial with John McCain and showing the side of his face that isn't falling off, saying, well, I just wanted, my friends, I wanted to congratulate Senator Obama on a great convention. And, you know, tomorrow it's back to the fight, but today is Senator Obama's day. At the time that he cut that stinking ad, he knew he was nominating a woman with a pregnant 17-year-old for the vice presidency. He knew. It's not even speculation anymore, Sandra. He knew. They've admitted he knew when he named her.
Well, no, that whole congratulate the Negro moment really pissed me off, too. You know?
Sure.
It was just sort of like, it was so condescending. It's like, oh, you know what? You don't need to acknowledge nothing historical about it, you old cancer-ridden pig. Yeah. Stop. It was too much, that.
But to do that when you know that you're about to nominate a woman for vice president solely because she is female, because she's going to energize the right-wing, mouth-breathing, fundamentalist, floor-rolling, tongue-speaking, strychnine-drinking, snake-handling fundies, and that that woman has a pregnant 17-year-old unwed daughter, man, that's dirty.
No, it's the Republicans. They really are quite frightening. I just wonder if this is going to... Because I was laughing at first, but maybe...
Oh, I want to jam all that every baby is precious business just right down Sarah Palin's throat. Every baby is precious and a gift from God. And I just want to look, at her and go, really, lady? Really? Little baby Hitler? Little baby Pol Pot? Little baby, pick one? Little baby Stalin? You know, these are gifts from God? That's some God you got going there, lady.
Oh, God. Well, I should hang up. I have to go deal with my nieces. Because one just lost a tooth.
Oh, this is significant.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sandra, it's always great hearing from you.
Oh, yeah. Well, take care.
All right, and bye now.
Bye.
Honest to God. This is creepy. It's so vile and hateful. You nominate a woman knowing that she has... Jesus, they're... What's new? They've been doing it for decades. They are literally using a fetus for political gain. Man, if that doesn't make the yellow bile rise up and burn you in the back of your throat, there's something wrong. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up, Susan?
Bush gets a cameo, Giuliani gets bumped, and Joe Mendham gets prime time.
Is that how it's going to work out?
Yep.
Joe Mendham? Joe Lieberman? The guy who never met an Arab he didn't want to eat? This is their prime time star?
Yep.
It's going to take a strong liquor bottle to get me through this.
I mean, you couldn't. What kind of a drinking game could you come up with for this that would keep you from toxic, from alcohol poisoning?
Oh dear God, do you know the full name of Track Palin?
What?
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. This just in. David is finding out all kinds of bizarre things about this weird bunch. Just went off to Iraq to kill him some sand dwellers. His full name is Moose Track Palin.
No! You're kidding me!
Dear God. I can't make this stuff up.
Somebody actually saddled a kid with a name like Moose Track?
I know. You know, I was joking Friday night that her first job was mayor of Moose Nipple. It's suddenly that's not so funny anymore.
No, it's not. You know what's not funny either? Apparently she went in front of a bunch of microphones when she was first announced and announced her son's exact MOS and the exact date when his unit
that
was
she did.
In Iraq.
That she did.
And that's a major no-no?
Yeah, you know, loose lips sink ships.
Ships?
Yeah.
And get boys killed?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God, it's just... The gales of laughter coming from overseas is just incredible.
I go back and forth because, like I said, we live in this little bubble, Susan,
mm-hmm.
where we think that the country can, my God, the country can't look at this and see it for anything except what it is. But we're dealing with an election cycle where bringing out the fundies may well be the difference.
Oh yeah.
And I got news for us normal people.
Yeah. Those crazy people are strange. That's why I didn't want Hillary on the ticket, was because she would have activated the base. I just don't know whether or not dear old Sarah is going to activate him to the same extent that Hillary would have.
I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same people. Well, I mean, it's the same people, but it's not the same motive. This is a positive motive for them. Hillary, they would have been coming out of the woodwork to, you know, stop her from killing America. But you know, motivating someone over a negative is always a lot more difficult than motivating someone over a positive, Susan. And in this case, that's how sick and twisted and messed up and psychotic and sideways this bunch is. They see the unwed pregnancy of a 17-year-old teenager from Alaska as a blessing, as the way the world ought to be. Because, see, this is a manifestation of their misogyny. She's 17. She's old enough to breed. And she's doing what God has planned for her.
Yeah, knock her up.
Get them shoes off, honey, and get to the kitchen.
Yep. Doesn't matter if you're able to breed when you're 12 or 17 or 19. Get it done.
Yeah, so, right.
Yuck. Yuck. Yuck.
I know.
And I don't care what anybody says. You know, this woman supposedly went into labor, and from what I read, she was leaking amniotic fluid. Then she goes and makes a speech. Then she gets on an airplane, bypasses at least three sets of hospitals that are all world-class rated, Dallas, Portland, Seattle.
To get home to
Moose Lips, wherever. It doesn't even have a neonatal unit.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
That's child abuse, where I come from.
I think you're exactly right. Well, and that it's fetal endangerment at the very least. Agnes is a former nurse, and I asked her about it, and she said, that it doesn't matter if you don't have a gushing water break, that when you start, and I'm not real comfortable with all this lingo, I try to be real clinical, but when you start leaking, that you got about 24 hours to start doing something before the risk of infection begins to increase.
Yeah, and not to mention, you've got a severely limited time frame before that baby dies.
Yeah, but they're pro-life. Because they got family values. No, I know. Hey Susan, good talking to you, dear. I've got I don't know what motivated people, but I got a stack tonight.
Yeah, up on Centab, there's an article called Sarah's implosion in slow mo that is hysterically funny. It's from Talking Points Memo. You ought to take a look at it.
Okay, at Centab, and you can get there via the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com website.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Susan.
Okay. Love to Agnes.
Bye now.
All right.
That picture of her with the assault rifle? Yeah, that's charming. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Brother Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I got to give props to somebody we generally don't do it to for a whole lot of time. But I got to give Big Ed props for last night.
Oh, yeah? What'd he do?
He was on last night on the Midnight Fight Hour on Larry King Almost Alive. And
Larry King embalmed.
Yeah, Larry King undead. They were there. You know, had him and Stephanie Miller, and had Molinari, and I can't think what the other woman's name is. So it was two on two instead of all Democrats last night, of course. But and just at the end of it, he got a good one in. He said, you know, they were sitting there going, you know, or Molinari, just every time she talks, she was just trying to filibuster. But Ed got in there at the end. He said, you know what? He said, wouldn't it be amazing what would have happened if, say, if this had been Chelsea Clinton? Can you imagine the 24/7 scream fest we'd be hearing about her and her parents' loose morals?
Oh, doubtless. Doubtless.
That said Limbaugh would be on the air 24/7. They wouldn't have to pry the golden EIB microphone out of his hands. You know, oh, God. Oh, have you heard the other thing? I saw over at Newshounds, I sent you the link to, that apparently they're going out now, and apparently her record, wherever it is on the web, is getting scrubbed.
Well, that's what I was talking with Ben about at the very beginning of the program.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the first
one. Oh, no worries, no worries.
Wikipedia page is like being rewritten every hour on the hour.
Ben said there have literally been thousands of edits since August 28th.
Well, they had the one over at Newshounds that, you know, where they took the picture of it, and they said, look, we'll go back in a few days and see what it looks like compared to what it was. Where they had a whole list of all of her statements and her positions. Said, we'll wonder what it'll look like in about a week. Said, probably won't even resemble anything. She's a female. Yeah, that's about the only thing that's the same on this.
Well, that's
now.
You know, that's what Ben came down to is, you know, it's that site. They've got this these terms at Wikipedia, and it's a battleground site right now.
What you were talking a second ago about flying. You know, generally, like in the last month, they don't let women fly if they can help it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, yeah, more than. But there are layers of questions.
Sorry, what I got was starting up next to me.
That's okay. No worries. What was she doing getting on the plane to go to Texas?
Well, the thing is, okay, if you weren't doing anything when you went down, okay, that's livable. But once you started that, it's like, congratulations, you're there in, what was it, Houston? I think it was.
Yeah,
Dallas.
I think so. Yeah.
But, I mean, either one. I mean, you're sitting there, and these are big, big cities. I mean, they have to have probably the best neonatal in that area. And I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry. You know, it's like, I'm sorry you were in the wrong place when the baby comes, but the baby comes first, according to you all. I mean, you're supposed to take the uncomfort for the baby.
Well, if the little what's the baby's name? Trig. You know, what are they naming these babies after? I mean, you've got Bristol and Moose Track and Trig. I mean, what's next? Plane geometry.
I'm trying to think about this. The family names in my family are ridiculous too.
Not that ridiculous. I mean, we contemplated naming Ferg some of those old, really old biblical names. He came within a gnat's whisker of being of being Salathiel.
I had an uncle.
Or
Milford.
Ozias.
I had an uncle Milford.
See, but those are historic names.
I know.
Ain't nobody out there named Moose Track. But last I checked, Moose Track is a flavor of ice cream.
I know. Well.
But then again. You know, like I said, I think they named the little girl that's pregnant. Her name's Bristol. I think they probably named her after the cheap wine, Harvey's Bristol Cream.
Either that, or they were down here at the races.
You know, what's this child's birthday? This child's about let's say her birthday is about this time of year, about September. She was conceived around Christmas. That's when they really hustle the Harvey's Bristol Cream. And what the hell else is there to do in Alaska about then? I mean, just saying.
Well, I'm just curious on this thing. Okay, now I'm sorry we have to dig into this. All right, it's the end of September or the end of August. Okay, she's 5 months pregnant, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that means she got pregnant about March, right?
Yeah.
While she's still in school.
Oh yeah. Well, the funny thing is though, back last year, she missed about 5 or 6 months of school with a really bad case of mono.
Well, I'm just curious if we're going to pay attention, and I hope we do after all this, see when she does deliver. I wonder if this child will be in there for another 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, what's that old gag about the definition of a soap opera, the only place on earth where it can take a woman 12 months to have a premature baby?
Mm-hmm.
This is that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, it just, oh, one other thing before I forget. I'm watching all this stuff over the weekend about Gustav. and seeing all these people just cheering about the fact that the levees held, and I'm sitting there going, you dummies, this is a level two.
And it still went over the top of the industrial canal.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there going, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Katrina a full five or almost just barely down to a high four when it hit?
Yeah, there's going to be a false sense of security. There's going to be a false sense of security arise out of this, and it scares the dickens out of me.
I mean, they're sitting there just, you know, they were high-fiving over it, and I'm sitting there going, you're happy because it survived 115-mile-an-hour winds. When happens when the tornado comes through at 150? Hurricane, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it sits there, and it decides to park and sit there and put 10 or 12 inches of water in the lake. I mean, because that's where the danger is. It isn't the exact hitting of the storm. It's all the water that comes with it. You know, fills up the lakes, fills up the
well, and again, we can't emphasize enough, Katrina did not do in New Orleans.
No, it didn't even hit.
Man-made failure did in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Katrina did in the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
I saw Skeletor still alive.
Yeah, Skeletor actually went to New Orleans, didn't he?
He was somewhere. Who knows? It could be sort of like that. Have you seen that new commercial where the guys are talking about being in the office and then the background falls away and they're at the golf course?
Right. And
I could be the same thing.
I saw him and I got to thinking, you know, I'm guessing what's going through his mind is, okay, the guy's name's not Moose Track. We've just been played with. But what the hell? It could be.
Well, you never know.
But no.
Skeletor.
No, the just overdeveloped sense of humor, and it's beautiful.
I know.
Because the thing is, it's not the prankster's fault on this.
Well,
you know, your name's Track. You know, why the hell get Moose Track, Caribou Track, Bear Track, Kill? You know.
But you know the thing that you know they keep crying. Oh, the liberal blogs are pushing this. I said, you watch it. About a third of these people, if we backtrack them, we'd find out this is coming from the RNC. They're throwing out everything imaginable so that, you know, try to make everybody follow every ass-cock story they can. You know what I mean? It's sort of like the Matt Drudge theory. Throw everything up, see what sticks.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, I've been saying this for months, Luke. Going to get nasty.
Well, and the thing of it is, it's like, only good part of it is they've got the media actually salivating on this one. So now when Obama and Biden come out and say, no, we shouldn't be doing this, media goes, yeah, sure. And they're over there typing away going, what do we find out? Because it's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Obama. This is where you get to question the lady on her judgment. I'm not going after her daughter. I'm going after her judgment.
Yeah, well,
this is the woman who says we don't need sex ed. We can only get away with only thing we need is just abstinence. It's like, well, congratulations. We see how well that worked.
Yeah. No. But then again, that's how it's supposed to work, and I can't emphasize that enough, Luke. That's how it's supposed to work. Women are supposed to be at home. You know, the whole thing from, you know, 33rd flip-floppians or whatever. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. You know, never mind that back then they were literally the physical property of their husbands, and if they didn't submit themselves, they could be taken out and killed. Never mind all that. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That's the fact that Bristol Palin is pregnant at 17 is, by God, where she is supposed to be.
You know, it's one of those things. Like I say, they love quoting the Old Testament until it starts working against them. Then all of a sudden, no, that isn't what it meant. It's like, well, wait a minute. You said we had to follow this stuff verbatim. There is no interpretation.
Yeah. Oh no. No, they only interpret when they want to interpret. See, we're liberals. We can't be trusted to be doing none of that interpretating. That's got to be done under the full influence, glory of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my favorite one always still has to be, every time I get into an argument with him, I said, describe Jesus. And I said, describe, you know, what country would you say he looks most like somebody from? And they also go, you know, they pick up their Bible and show you the picture of the white albino Jesus. and you're sitting there going, this is a guy who's living in Palestine. Only way he's that wise, he's living underground 24/7.
Yeah, he's that white only if he's, you know, part cave cricket.
Yes. He's got the pink eyes, you know.
Yeah, he's from the cover of an Edgar Winter album.
Ooh, right. That'd be a good one. Oh, God, yeah.
They only come out at night. Oh, God. Luke, we'll talk to you soon. I got to get a bunch of these blinkers. Talk to you later, man.
Have a good one.
All right, bye now. Our buddy Luke in East Tennessee. All right, and moving along. Oh, okay, nobody home. Let's see. Let's try. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Philip.
Hey, Philip, what's up?
Oh, all kinds of things. Let's start with Sarah Palin, huh?
Okay.
And this whole idea. Well, let's start with Dana Perino, actually. Dana Perino in her press briefing today said that she was asked by a reporter a question about this whole Sarah Palin, the daughter having a baby thing. And she said, well, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to follow Senator Obama's lead as far as not touching it. And I think Obama said something to the effect of, well, children are off limits. Well, I've got news for Senator Obama. Children were brought into this to begin with by the McCain campaign, and Palin herself, she trotted out the Down syndrome baby to prove that she's such a wonderful pro-life, pro-family person.
Well, I agree with you, Philip, that they brought that they played that card and they brought it into the campaign, but it goes back further than that. Don't you remember during the Reverend Wright controversy when all the right-wingers were flapping their little arms around and trotting around on their knuckles and screaming, Barack Obama didn't know Reverend Wright was goddamning America, and yet he sat there and he took his little daughters to that church. He took his children there and let them sit there and hear that hate. Remember that, Philip?
Oh, yeah, that bloviated, that bastard was talking all about that, the Limbaugh.
I mean, is it me, or is that putting the children into the race?
Well, it's putting the children into the race, and this is a political issue, because it has to do with not only Palin and Alaska's governor supporting the abstinence-only programs there. In 2006, when she ran for governor, she made it clear in a statement where she said, you know, absolutely not, no explicit sex education programs in Alaska. That's what she campaigned on. And they're both proponents of abstinence-only programs. And let me remind everybody just what this abstinence-only thing entails. We'll give your voice a rest for a moment. It's sex education, or it's a education that emphasizes abstinence from sex, of course, to the exclusion of all other types of sexual and reproductive health education, particularly regarding birth control and safe sex. And
Philip, if this woman cannot keep close enough watch on a 17-year-old who lives at home to keep her from getting pregnant, how can she be counted on to have any kind of judgment in terms of the vagaries and the and the skullduggery that goes on in world politics?
Well, she can't. And the fact of the matter is, you know, this is a golden opportunity for the Obama campaign to come out and say, look, all you so-called Christian people out there that say you're Christian and you're good family values people, these people, the Republicans, have been stringing along like idiots for years. And now you have another clear example of it. We have Sarah Palin doing one thing and saying one thing and doing a different thing with her family. You know, and I think this is a good opportunity for that, for the Obama campaign to come out and point that out. And not only that, but like I was saying, the abstinence-only support and the money that's been poured in that.
Pardon me for a minute. Isn't it funny how, you know, it's always Bill Cosby out there hammering, going away, hammering in tongs, and, you know, I got me a Jell-O pudding pop, and why won't the black men be good fathers? Excuse me. I don't think there's any black people in Alaska. I mean, I'm just saying. And, you know, little Bristol Palin. I mean, isn't it time for us to have the conversation about... But no, I'm sorry. This kid who describes himself as, hell yeah, I'm Alaska redneck.
Oh, I
he's gonna him. Yeah, he's gonna marry her. Guess what? He ain't marrying her because he wants to.
Well, yeah, his webpage said, his MySpace said he doesn't want children.
I do not want children.
So it's a shotgun wedding, you know. And you know.
Well, they're Republicans. It's more like a howitzer wedding with depleted uranium munitions.
Oh my God! Can you imagine how the baby's going to come out? But this is really, really
the same way all of them do, you know, and that's the sad thing.
The whole idea of the Obama campaign coming out right away and saying, no, this is off the table and playing this, we're too nice to get into that kind of bullshit that we got from the John Kerry campaign is really upsetting me. You know, we should go for the jugular because it's important. A couple of callers before, you know, said, hey, you know, look, this guy McCain, this old bastard's going to drop dead. Nobody's going to assassinate him. He's going to drop dead of cancer or brain tumor or whatever other things are eating up this old bastard. We're going to end up having President Ping. So we'll have abstinence-only classes in school. Chastity belts will come back into form.
No, they won't. Yeah. No, they won't. No chastity belts, Philip. Remember, little girls are supposed to be pregnant before they can get all uppity and start thinking they're going to have a career or be full, you know, be full citizens.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Got to have five children.
Sure, good. For Jesus.
For Jesus. Jesus wants you to procreate. Yeah, the hypocrisy in this is unbelievable. And this is something we all should be pointing out, and the Obama campaign should be, too. Because this isn't about slamming Bristol Palin. You know, whether this girl willingly did this, and whether it was an accident, whether this Neanderthal's condom broke.
Well, unless she tripped him and he fell, unless she tripped him, he fell and she landed on the ground before him. No, there's no accidents, okay? I mean, no. No, this wasn't an accident. This was very, very intentional sex. But the thing is, Sarah Palin, she has such paleolithic views that that even if little Bristol had been gang raped and left in a heap in an alley somewhere in Moose Jaw,
Jesus would want them to keep the children.
She would make that child have the baby because every baby is a precious gift from God. I mean, you know, even if, you know, it was one of those Uncle Daddy situations, little Bristol would have to have the baby because every baby is a gift from God, and Sarah Palin is on record as saying there should not be an exception based on rape or incest.
And that should make a lot of women feel good.
Well, you know, some of those 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 something women, the 90 something women, who by God busted their ass for a woman to have the right to just make the determination of what, you know, how she would manage the life giving force of her own body. How do they feel to hear that? I mean, isn't that just like being spit on?
Oh, absolutely. And this is what these people do. They spit. And I tell you what, with this Sarah Palin, too, you know, we're getting this pretty picture of this wonderful family values family. I've seen a lot of these family value families, and what goes on behind closed doors is not necessarily what you see. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you see, you gotta realize, I mean, it's all a matter of perspective for the Repiglicans. If we know, Philip, we know, okay, no speculation, no guessing, we know, they've admitted it. We know that the McCain knew that the child was pregnant before she was named as the vice presidential running mate. Ask yourself this question. would Sarah Palin have been chosen if they had had foreknowledge that the 17-year-old daughter was gay?
No, because that wouldn't go over. See, but this, again, is an opportunity for the Obama campaign to slam on. If they don't want to go after Palin, if they don't want to go into all that, then they can slam on McCain, because in, when was it, May 24th, 2007, he gave an interview on the CBN website, Christian Broadcasting Network, and his campaign said, Senator McCain believes in the correct policy for educating young children on this subject, sex, and that it's to promote abstinence as the only safe and responsible alternative. To do otherwise is to send a mixed signal to children that, on the one hand, they should not be sexually active, but on the other, there's a way to go about it. Point out the hypocrisy in these son of a bitches. Open your mouth. You know, change we can believe in, Barack Obama. Well, some of the change I want to see is going after the jugular with these people, because as your callers mentioned, as you mentioned before, we know goddamn well that if this was Chelsea Clinton or any Democrat candidate's child that was pregnant for 5 months after that person was nominated to be the vice president, potential vice president of the United States, they would go for the jugular and rip that person to pieces. Why aren't we doing it? It's not nice.
No.
I mean, really, you know?
Yeah. And I'm you're getting emails saying, I agree with Philip. And I don't disagree with you. The only thing is, I fear to a certain extent they've got us boxed in.
Because we allowed it.
Because we allowed it, and because we will be painted as heartless bastards who don't love babies if we say anything about it. But again, it's not about the baby. It's not about the teenager. It is about the abstinence only. It's about the hypocrisy.
Well, it's about the hypocrisy, and it's how we paint it and how they present it. This is about being responsible parents for your child. You have children, Bob. When children reach the age of puberty, it's ridiculous to think that they're not going to want to use it, especially boys. Now, I can't talk, of course, from the female perspective, but from a boy perspective, I can remember all those years ago, back when puberty started, and yeah, damn right, I wanted to use it.
Yeah,
the responsible thing to do, educate children about what can happen, what kind of diseases.
Agnes and I have both had that conversation with the kids in a very, very frank manner. What they do with it, I don't know. But, you know, I've told...
That's responsible parenting. That's what Barack Obama needs to talk about. We don't necessarily have to go after this Palin girl. But let's talk about what is responsible. You know, okay, if you're sexually shamed in a knuckle-dragging Christian, you know, that believes the Earth is 6,000 years old, that's your damn problem, okay? But we're talking about abortion. You don't like abortion either, Palin, the rest of you people. Well, how about educating children? How about making sure teenagers have the proper contraception available to them? You know, a lot of kids can't get their hands on a condom. It's not that a boy wouldn't want to use a condom with his girlfriend, just can't get them, you know?
Well,
I think that should be made available for kids as well.
Sure.
Because a good number of teenagers are going to be sexually active, but we don't want to think about that. We want to think of them as like these little cherubs, you know, that don't do anything, and they're not supposed to. But they do.
But you know, there are so many issues related to this, Philip, that tie into so many other issues that relate to the national debate. I mean, here we've got the minor daughter of an insured family. Sarah Palin and her husband, Meat Popsicle, or whatever his name is, they have the best insurance that Alaska has to offer. They have the best socialized insurance that Alaska has to offer. They have family coverage, and it covers Little Bristol. Will it cover Bristol's baby? You know, there's a lot of care that goes into taking care of a Down syndrome baby. Is that why trigonometry or whatever? Is that why I'm not sure what the gender is. Is the child of Sarah Palin and whatever the husband's name is? Is that why? So that there would be insurance coverage available? That's insurance fraud, if it is the case. You know, when what kind of coverage is the baby going to have when little Bristol becomes an adult? How are they going to? Are they just going to pay for private insurance out of their pockets? I didn't know being governor of Alaska paid that kind of money. You know, these are honest and legitimate questions. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right, Philip. You know, we've got to go at them on it, and we go at them on the legitimate issues that arise out of this.
On the issues, but to take it off the table right away and say, well, no, children are off limits. You know, no, they're not. Because a lot of this goddamn campaign, from the Bush campaign to the McCain campaign, has been trying to shove their family values down my throat.
Sure.
They're telling me that my partner and I, just because we're in a gay relationship, isn't a real family.
Oh, you're not even not a real family. You're not a real citizen, Philip.
Well, not a real citizen either, to these son of a bitches. Other families that choose, okay, well, maybe, okay, daughter Pippi got pregnant at 16 and, well, we aborted it. That was that family's choice, but they want to put their idealism into other families as well. So don't talk to me about giving privacy to a family when all these son of a bitches do is stick their nose into American families and try and push their ideology down our throats. The hell with that, Obama. Go for the jugular. Show America, you know, we want change. I talked about this last week. Let's start telling America the truth about these people. Let's talk about what fascism is. Let's talk about what's going on in St. Paul today and yesterday with the beatings and the pepper spray and the police state and the suppression of media. What they're taking away over there in St. Paul is computers and cameras and cell phones. Those are the weapons they're getting. In fact, one of the places that they raided over there, the guy didn't have a toilet in the place, and he was peeing in a bucket. And one of the cops held up to the media.
Exactly. Oh, we've confiscated some urine.
So if they don't want to talk about Sarah Palin and don't want to talk about good old Bristol Palin and her little tummy that's pooching out now because she's 5 months pregnant, how about some Democrats coming out and talking about the police state that's at this convention? Did we hear anything from anybody, any of the Democrats at all, talking about what went on in Denver with the arrest of the ABC journalist?
Yeah, it was real quiet.
I'm getting off on another subject.
It was real quiet.
Eyes in as well.
It was real quiet. And frankly, I don't know that there are any Democrats out there decrying what's happening in Minneapolis and pointing out that this is what happens when you build a police state. You know, once again, they're having their convention, and we're pulling a 2004. Because, you know, back then, you know, John Kerry said, we're not going to say anything negative about George Bush during his convention. Look, it's happening again, and it makes me kind of sick. Philip, I got this big old stack of folks, though. This has been a great conversation. I do need to roll along, though.
Yeah, I'm losing my voice, too. I know what's going on. It's just like...
It may be catching because, you know, I'll be Clint Eastwood by midnight.
So it flew all the way from West Virginia over to California.
Right. Well, you know, but then again, what's his the Alaska kid who describes himself as an Alaska redneck may very well have looked at Little Bristol and said, well, do you feel lucky?
Oh, I'm
going to
eat a bucket now. I'm cute.
No, I'm sorry. That's, well, do you want to get lucky? I'm just awful.
One thing you need to get after your show is a moose sound effect. I'll see if I can find you one.
Oh, do please. That'll be just too much fun.
Moose.
All right, Philip, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
See you, man. Bye. Philip calling from the San Diego area. And we roll along. Nope. Let's see here. Let's try this one. Nope. How about you? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Gary. How about you?
All right. You know, I always call when you start to get hyper.
Am I getting hyper?
Yeah, you guys are getting hyper, man. Why should we jump when the Republicans are starting to drown? Why should we jump in the pool? They're drowning in their own vomit. This Sarah pick is...
No. I disagree, Gary.
He's over 50% now on the Gallup poll.
He's
already rigged.
He's over 50%, but... This is served as a profound energizer to the weird, you know, Twilight Zone, Nightmareville right wing. You know, the fundamentalists, they're all excited about this. And I think we really do have a legit, we really should build a legitimate policy debate around some of the issues that this raises. I mean, that woman came out, Gary, and she said, "I would like for you all to respect my family's privacy." To which I would like to respond, kiss my butt, because she doesn't believe there is a right to privacy. You know, the right to privacy underpins the right to contraception and the right for a woman to choose what goes on in her own body. And it is defined as being within the Constitution, unstated, but there. And this woman doesn't believe in it, but she wants us to give it to her, but we don't get it? Oh, no. No, I'm not going to play that.
But you know, and you know this is true, if Barack and Biden come after them, the right-wing conservative media is going to twist this thing to be all about Obama and not about Sarah Palin. You know that's going to happen, Bob.
I know that's going to happen either way.
It depends on the situation. What I think the Obama camp should go for Douglas, but what I'm saying what the Obama camp should do right now, which they're not doing, is because I agree with you guys, but I think it shouldn't be directed at Sarah Palin. I think what they should say to you that John McCain lied to the American people for the last 6 months because he said everything was about experience. He lambasted Obama about it, and look what McCain just did. That is the issue. McCain has lied for the last 6 months about this whole issue of being what makes this presidency so important in terms of experience. And I think that's where Obama should set safe ground for him. He doesn't have to worry about getting called into Palin. But by the same token, you're bringing Palin in because you're saying she's not experienced. And I think that's really where he needs to go. His whole campaign is built on higher ground. So it would be a little difficult to me. I mean, just my personal thing. I'm not saying I'm right. But I think that's where he needs to go. But he should not lay back. I agree. He needs to attack McCain right now while they're at their convention. But I think
you agree that that hasn't happened, right?
Oh, yeah, I know it hasn't happened because he does this at times, and that's the problem with his campaign. He did it against Clinton. He lays back sometimes and takes too many punches. You know, that's what he does, and that's not good.
Well, I tell you what.
I see them on the ropes right now, and I'm with you, man. I'm saying, let's, we have to throw kicks, keep, hit them below.
Yeah, when they're on the ground, that's the time when you grind them. You know, don't let them get well. Don't let him get some sort of a bounce. I know that there's been some, I can't believe it. Well, that's just really cold and callous and cruel of a Democrat to say something like that. Here, I'll say it. You know what? This is downright biblical. I'm on the verge of actually believing in the Old Testament God out of this business with the right-wing repig-licking convention. You know, because it's straight out of the Mosaic curses. You know, that last one, you know, whatever Pharaoh, you're rubber and he's glue, it's going to bounce off and then stick. Because, you know, God said to Moses that whatever Pharaoh laid upon the children of Israel, that by God, it wouldn't happen to the children of Israel, it happened to Pharaoh instead. And there they were, praying for torrential rain of biblical proportion to fall on Barack Obama. And look what they got.
I think we're going to be seeing lotus very soon. Locusts, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Frogs and locusts are fine. If Sarah Palin went on TV and suddenly got all exorcist and turned green and her head went around and stuff, that'd be all right by me, too.
I don't know, man, but, you know, the media, I've been kind of like watching this from afar. I was away for the weekend. But I've been kind of watching this. And, you know, this is, I have a little theory about this, you know, I talked about last time, is that, once again, I kind of feel like McCain continues to do this. He's doing anything he can to keep the focus off of him. So he throws out this half-assed pick, And now all this focus on her. Meanwhile, nobody's really talking about McCain. And that's my whole issue right now with the Obama campaign. We need to be talking about how McCain made this pick, you know, how it's irresponsible, how he lied.
Yeah, if this is what passes for a vice president, can you imagine what the Secretary of State's going to be?
Yeah.
Who's the Secretary of Defense going to be? Paris Hilton?
But see, the media, if we don't watch them, you and I both know that they'll come out and somehow try to revamp her or revamp this pick because they want a horse race and make it say, oh, no, you know, she's all great, maybe, and she's weathered this controversial storm.
Oh, yeah, she's already being billed. Yeah. This is true feminism. You know, because she calls herself a feminist for life. That's she's a member of some organization along those lines. Feminist for life. That's what you. She ain't no feminist. Not by a long stretch.
Man, this chick got some issues. I hate to use the word chick, but I'm gonna say it. She has some issues, bro.
I mean, if she's a, I don't know if she's a feminist, then David Duke is a. Well, she's not. She just isn't. There's no way you can be her, you know, it does, being willing to shoulder an assault rifle and get in a helicopter and go shoot dogs is not the definition of feminism.
Well, you know, you got the Trooper Gate thing coming up right behind it, the whole vetting process. I mean, they don't get it, man, that McCain made this pick basically on political perception. And this is not in the best interest of the country. And this is what Obama and, you know, Biden, now maybe they're doing some little strategy where they're going to sit back and they're trying to wait after the Republican convention because they figure they can get some more airtime on this. But I'm pretty sure at some point in time they're going to let loose on her. And this whole strategy I heard about, you know, them talking about, you know, I think Obama came out with it talking about, well, you know, they're kind of scared because of the Hillary thing. And I think they're kind of probably gunshot about that. They're sensitive to that, and they think that they're going to lose their vote. I think they need to understand that. I think most of those Hillary reporters are smarter than what they're giving them credit for. You know, at least I hope, you know, and I think that's what's kind of holding them back on Sarah. You know, I don't think it's just...
Oh, I don't think the Hillary... There's no way this woman's going to appeal to Hillary voters. And Lord God, you know, those are older white women... Who really did? They were on the front lines, and they did bust their ass for the right to choose and the right to work, and not like right to work laws, but the right to enter the workforce. They really did fight those fights, and they're suddenly going to see their feminist victory in a woman who believes that 17-year-olds got to get married. I don't buy it.
Well, I don't buy it either. I also don't buy it because she's a woman. He gets some special treatment. Talking about like Joe Biden should be careful. I think Robert Herbert in the New York Times wrote some kind of piece where you got to be careful with her, like kid gloves kind of thing. I'm like, what? She's going to be president with Putin and world leaders?
No, but the thing is, he goes into his debate with her. They've neutralized that debate, Gary, because Joe Biden goes in there and says anything but howdy, ma'am. Lovely day we're having. And the next thing, you know, Joe Biden was cruel and ungentlemanly toward Sarah Palin. Because this is the right wing that says they don't want affirmative action. This is the right wing that says they don't want special treatment. This is the right wing that says that you can't give anybody a leg up. But by God, that standard does. You know, it's the Clarence Thomas syndrome. It's where when you get to the top of the ladder, you start stomping on all the hands on the rungs beneath you for all you're worth. Because they will, by golly, have special treatment for Sarah Palin.
Oh, no doubt. I no doubt about it. And I think, like I said, Obama, I mean, it's not my style. Probably like, you know, but, you know, the Democrats, you know, we've seen this kind of leadership from them. They don't take it to them. They just don't take it to the Republicans. They don't play like the way they do. You know, we'll see if we'll win or not, but. I mean,
Karl Rove came out today and called Joe Biden a doofus?
Trying to change subject. Trying to change subject, you know.
A man who has sat in the Senate for 36 years, and he called him a doofus? This pasty-faced little doughy traitorous SOB self-made who outed a CIA agent and should be in Leavenworth called Joe Biden a doofus?
You know that. You know what though, Bob? And this is what I personally believe. And I think pretty much Bob probably might agree with this. I think eventually truth just. I mean, I think you can lie but so long. But since truth is based on reality, and reality eventually will hit you in the butt, hit you in the face, whether it's your life or whatever, I think that hopefully by this election, and I think it's going to actually happen in the next couple of weeks, that the reality of the economy, the reality of this vice president pick, and all these other things that the Republicans have been doing are finally going to catch up with them. And I think it's just a matter of time. I think the hurricane is just another example, and this hiding of Bush, another example. Eventually, this stuff is going to catch up with them. Because one thing I've noticed is that, you know, I watched a little bit of news channels today, and the Republicans are freaking out over this pick. They are freaking out. They're really questioning. It's coming clear now that McCain did not properly vet her.
Well, but who are the Republicans who are doing that? Because I'm reading the fundamentalist right, and you know, they're the ones that the checkered pants polyester crowd is not that large in the Republican Party, Gary. They've got to have the floor rolling, strychnine drinking, tongue speaking, prophesying, snake handling crowd. They got to have them. And man, they are lit up about this. They think it's the neatest thing since sliced bread.
Bob, but they're going to have to get a large number of independents. But when the election, there's too many young people and too many independents and too many Democrats who registered. The Democrats have registered 2-1. You know, I've been working on, you know, some of the Democratic campaign. They just can't whip up the base. To me, what this says, him picking a base pick, says that they're going to lose, and they know it. So that's why he went to the base. It's like military school. It's like when you're on the offensive, you just go out into unknown territory and start shooting up crap because you're gunning down people and you're not retreating. But when you start losing, you always go back to your base and hang out and hold out because that's where your artillery is.
Hunker down.
I'm sorry. He's bunkering down, and that's where he went. And this tells me that all these polls that are coming out, I've been saying this, I'm just seeing what I see on the ground because I'm underground. And what I'm saying is that Republicans are in trouble. And this pick, to me, says everything. He could have easily picked, because Obama now, they say, is moving up the polls in Michigan. He could have picked Romney to help him out there. He needs to win Michigan. Lose Michigan, he loses the election. So I don't know how many of these evangelical crazies there are out there, but I'm guarantee you it's not enough of them to win the black vote, the Hispanic vote, the enlightened white vote, and the young vote. It's just not. It's just, and I think that, you know, Obama may be looking at the data and say, you know what, we don't have to go there. I'm hoping that's what they're doing. I'm hoping they're not just sitting back and pulling the carry. I'm hoping that they're looking at the polls and saying, you know what, we can go on cruise control. And we're going to win this thing.
But see, that's so wrong, Gary, because I've repeated on a number of occasions that little piece of sage advice that I got from Robert Byrd many years ago. There are only two ways to run a campaign: unopposed and scared to death. The minute you say we can put it on cruise control, the minute you say we got this thing locked up, that's the minute you lose.
Well, I'm not saying that that's the right. I just told you a few minutes ago. You know what my strategy is take them out. So I'm not saying that's the right strategy. But like I said before, they do this from time to time, and that's the thing I don't like about the campaign. That's the problem with the campaign is that they sometimes go on cruise control. They did it with Hillary when they could have took her out. They sat back and allowed her to get back inside. They claim that they learned from that incident, and he said it would never let her do it again. But he continues to do it every now and then. He just lags back. I think most of it is, I think they just freaked out over the media. You know, I don't know what it is, but they're just like, they really freaked out over the media. You know, maybe it's a good cause, but you know, I don't know. You know, we'll see, but I'm with you on it. I mean, take them out. Why not? You got them. What's the point? Why even let them breathe a little longer? You know, if you're going to kill somebody, you make sure you kill them. You make sure they're not breathing. You wrap the bag over their head and stick them in water for another 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah, once they're down, that's when you start doing the fun stuff, like the kicking and the gouging and the stomping.
Yeah, man. So anyway, but that's, you know, I think we're on the same page. So I know you got a bunch of other calls, so I just, you know, want to chime in, before we start getting crazy.
No, I appreciate it. I haven't started, you know, the walls hadn't started melting on me yet, Gary, but...
But I think we do. I think we'd be, you know, I think, you know, we're getting there. What do you think about the hurricane?
I think there was, to a certain extent, a bullet dodged, but it wasn't entirely dodged. And I'm scared to death that there's going to be a backlash of, well, we're ready for the next one. It was a Category 2. It was a Category 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just saw a post, Crooks and Liars, Hillary to step up campaigning against Palin. So, and this is beautiful. It is insulting to compare Hillary's lifetime of service and her commitment to progressive causes with that of a novice right-wing governor. Yeah, I'd say so.
Maybe it's manna for heaven from us because it gives Hillary some motivation now. Because if I'm her and I'm looking at the situation, you know, I would be pissed, you know. I would be insulted as a person to say, that, you know, that this woman possibly could be vice president or, you know, actually president. And looking at her credentials and everything else. So it gives, at least it gives her some motivation, too, you know, to get back in this thing. And then it gives maybe the women who are out there some perspective because no candidate, whether they're black, should be appointed because they're black or because they're a woman. They should be appointed because either they run the best campaign or have the best ideas or that they, you know, they are the, you know, the most experienced via, you know, long-term service or X, Y, and Z. But like I said before, we can't trust the Republicans. Like you said, it things are going to get ugly because if Obama starts running away with the polls, that is, to me, is when they really need to be scared because the Republicans are then going to go to hellfire. You know it and I know it. They're not going to give this election up just quietly. They're not going to go out because I think, Bob, that they're really looking at this not as losing an election. They're looking at this right now as a destruction of their party, you know, because if the Democrats get in there and actually start acting like Democrats again, they may not see that White House for another 30 years, you know, because the mess that they're going to leave is so bad. And if the Democrats can clean it up, I really think that the Republicans will probably go away for a while. I mean, that's in my opinion. I think that's how they're looking at it. So I think Obama and them can't be looking at this as just some...
If Obama can win and he can beat them, even with the fundies coming out from under the floorboards, then the Republican Party is dead as we know it.
That's right, because their prayers obviously are not working, and that's the only thing they claim to have. So, you know.
Well, exactly. Gary, you take care, all right?
Okay.
We'll talk soon. I'll keep breathing, all right?
No, no, no.
All right, see ya. Bye. Our buddy Gary in Maryland. Keeping me on the ground. Yeah, I'm not all worked up and scared over this Palin nomination. I'm astonished, and I am absolutely hell bent on pointing out the hypocrisy. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Cassie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm you know, just trying to keep from going cross-eyed, I guess.
So I have been avoiding politics for the last 3 weeks because I started school, and I'm in 2 AP classes and 2 pre-AP classes, and I am so busy, and I'm on the debate team, and I am just too busy for politics, except I did listen to Barack Obama's speech last week,
mm-hmm.
and I have to talk about Bristol Palin.
Well, I think if anybody can talk about Bristol Palin, you are probably in a position to do so.
Okay. Well, I wrote a letter to Governor Palin today because I was just, like, completely horrified by the whole thing.
Okay. Well, what was it that you found horrifying? Let's start there.
Okay. Here's the deal. She says no abortion no matter what, right? And don't teach kids about sex and don't teach kids about condoms and don't teach kids about STDs and any of that stuff. So I have questions for her. Like, did she sit down with Bristol and Bristol's boyfriend and talk about birth control?
I'm almost dead certain that the answer to that is no.
Okay, because I have to say, brother, when I had my first boyfriend a year and a half ago, I guess, when I first started having a boyfriend, he sat down with me, and he sat down with my boyfriend, and then they ended up sitting both of us down with my brother and Dane's parents, And they had this long talk with us about physical relationships and emotional relationships and teen relationships and, you know, the whole sex talk and the whole, you know, y'all are too young. The y'all are too young talk. But it wasn't just you're too young, don't do it. It was you're too young and here's why. And, but they also talked to us about condoms and they also talked to us about STDs and, like, you know, made us promise that all hands would stay above the waist. And at the same time, taught us about condoms.
See, that makes perfectly good sense to me. But you got to understand, Alaska is a big place, but the population centers in Alaska are fairly few, and just about everywhere there is in Alaska, especially if you are Sarah Palin's daughter, everybody knows who you are. So
they can't even go to the drugstore. They can't
go to the drugstore. They can't go to, I mean, I don't even know if there's a Planned Parenthood chapter in Alaska. They can't go anywhere and get a condom, get the pill, get an, Lord knows, an IUD. I mean, that takes an act of Congress in the first place. All they've got is don't do it. And you know what? It's Alaska, Cassie. I mean, it's not, you know, there's 6 months of the year when it's just dark.
They get real winter for a long time.
Yeah, then, you know, I mean, I bet you the statistical birth rate in Alaska goes up at the height of summer, because at the height of winter, if you're 17, what are you going to do? I mean, you can only play so many games of Yahtzee.
Yeah.
And even, you know, you say, oh, okay, we'll play Scrabble again. And pretty soon the Scrabble words start getting dirty. And then the next thing you know, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, other thing that I wanted to know from Mrs. Palin is, why is it that she thinks that what I learn in school is her business? And she thinks that the decisions I make if I should become pregnant is her business. Or the decision somebody makes if they're sick and they become pregnant. Right? I mean, like, if you have cancer and you become pregnant, you have to either stop the cancer treatment or you have to stop the pregnant, right? I mean, there's, like, people who shouldn't be pregnant.
Oh, but that case, but for the right wing, Cassie, that case is a no-brainer. If you've got cancer and you get pregnant and it's either terminate the pregnancy or terminate the chemo and die, you have to terminate the chemo and die, because that little mass, that little wad of cells inside you is more important than you are.
Well, I understand that. I disagree with that, but I understand it. But if they think that's their business, then how is it that this lady's teenage daughter is not everybody else's business?
Well, I think you've just driven the nail on that one. How is it not our business?
I think it's our business. But did you hear what Obama said about why he doesn't want to go after her?
I read it, but I'm not sure what, because
his mom was 18 when he was born.
Well, then.
That's
fine. You know, and to look, that makes sense.
I think he's wrong. I think maybe that means that he can't say it because he feels like it would offend his mom somehow. But that doesn't mean that everybody else shouldn't talk about it. Or he can talk about parts that aren't about the pregnancy. He can talk about the hypocrisy. Or he can talk about, you know, who's going to pay the hospital fee for the baby to get born.
Yeah, let's talk. And let's talk.
Who's going to pay Bristol's doctor visits, and who's going to pay the baby's doctor visits?
And not just that, but look, you know,
guy who's still in high school too. They don't have any money.
For all intents and purposes, though, Bristol's baby is being born into a certain degree of privilege. All right.
Right.
I think you know, Jamie Lynn Spears' baby will never want for anything. But those cases are atypical, Cassie, and you know it far better than I do. Those cases are atypical. And there are single moms of 13, 12, 15, 16, 17, all 18, all over America.
I have a bunch of them. I have a friend who has two kids already, and she's my age. And she's still a freshman. I'm a junior, and she's still a freshman because she can't get it together to pass her classes because she's too busy dealing with her kids.
Mm. And how can we not have that discussion, Cassie?
If
we're going to be a pro-life nation, either the right wing has to come clean and admit that they are not pro-baby, they are pro-fetus, and they also have to admit that life may begin for them at conception, but it ends at birth.
But they're only pro-fetus this lady's not pro-fetus, because if she was pro-fetus, she would have let that baby be born in Texas and not insist on going back to Alaska. I mean, do you know that nobody in Texas is going to vote for her because everybody feels like it was a snub?
Has nobody in Texas figured out that the reason she couldn't have the baby in Texas is because she didn't have a baby inside her in Texas?
Well, I don't know. I've seen pictures both ways. But
I mean, look, but you're right. If she really...
Liar, or she didn't take care of her fetus, because that's not safe, especially if it's a baby with a birth defect. You don't get on a plane, you have a baby.
And by that time, according to this narrative, Cassie, when she got back on the plane and flew to Alaska, she already knew that it was a Down syndrome baby, because she'd already had the amniocentesis that she had no business having, because you only have amniocentesis if you're contemplating terminating the pregnancy.
Well, the other thing is that when she got back to Alaska, after being on the airplanes and all that stuff, she got back to Alaska, she didn't go to the closest hospital. She went like 45 minutes away to the hospital.
Yes.
She wanted.
Yes.
So stupid. We don't need any more stupid people in our government.
Yeah, we're all booked up on stupid.
We really don't need any more stupid people in our government.
No, we need some profoundly smart ones. But there's an old line from Jonathan Swift where he says, "You will know a great man by these portents, that wherever he goes, he is surrounded by a confederacy of dunces." Well, that's our problem. We've got a chance to elect a really smart guy, a pair of really smart guys, president and vice president of the United States, but we've got a lot of morons out there, Cassie. You know that. I know that.
Yeah.
And there's really no getting around it. You know, if anybody can't see, like the amniocentesis issue, you don't do amniocentesis can't tell you the gender of the baby. Amniocentesis can't tell you whether the baby's going to be breached.
I thought it can tell you the gender.
It tells you maybe it tells you the gender, but it can't tell you anything except, you know, Down syndrome. That's why amniocentesis is recommended for mothers over the age of 40, because that's when the risk of a Down syndrome baby becomes profound. And that's why the amniocentesis is part of this myth, and that's why I think it reinforces the fact that she probably never was pregnant.
Well, okay, but if she wasn't pregnant, then Bristol was pregnant twice?
Yeah. And there are pictures of her with what looked like baby bumps.
All right, so if she's saying that she wants privacy for her family...
Mm-hmm.
Why did she put them all on a stage? And why did she... Did you see those pictures that Meghan McCain took? Did you see the pictures on Meghan McCain's website? Meghan McCain took a million pictures of her looking pregnant, of Bristol looking pregnant. It's like, if she didn't want this to be in the public, then she should have not put her daughter on the spot.
Oh, but they did want it to be public. That's the whole point. You know, again, John McCain knew about the pregnancy when he announced Sarah Palin as the nominee.
I don't understand them. I thought that they think this is all a sin. Isn't that why they're telling
me? No, babies are a little gift from God.
Not in my house.
Yeah, I know. But that's what Sarah. But that's the thing.
Later.
When you're a right winger, you have to just absolutely partition your brain into 1,900 little compartments where nothing ever conflicts. Because, yeah, it's sinful, and abstinence only is the only way to go, and we got to teach them not to do that because it's dirty. And then, but if you wind up with a, well, it was dirty when you done it, but God give you a little precious gift for being dirty. You know, how do you live in a world like that? How do you live inside a skull like that, Cassie, and not have your head just go, you know, one day just pop goes the weasel? How?
I don't know.
Because obviously it's as disturbing to you as it is to me. Perhaps more so because you see how non-rich pregnant teenagers get treated in this country.
Anyway, can I say something about something completely different?
You can say anything you want.
The hurricane stuff, it's not over.
No.
My brother's in the National Guard, and they are still on alert. He's still mobilized. He's still in Galveston. He's still mobilized because of the next one coming in and because all the stuff from this one isn't completely finished. I mean, maybe now it's a tropical storm, but yes, New Orleans is safe, but it's not done yet. And there's another one behind it.
Oh, I know. And it won't be long before there's another one behind that. And, you know, here's the Republicans having their celebration of Republican values. Did you notice what the hurricane after Hannah is named?
Ike.
Yeah, that's just too much irony in for me to be able to take in one dose.
Okay. I don't know why, but that's okay.
The last great Republican president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, otherwise known as Ike.
Got it.
I mean, some of this stuff is looking, it's looking biblical, Cassie. And you know I don't go in for that stuff.
I know. Me neither, but... I don't know. My brother's still mobilized. They say he's going to be out there for about 2 more weeks.
Holy cow.
Because they have to get everything back, and then they have to move all the equipment back to where it was, and it's a big process, so.
Well, is he all right? Are you hearing from him?
Yeah, he's sending text messages and stuff. He's fine.
Cool. Well, I know you're anxious.
What? This is what the National Guard's supposed to be doing.
Well, isn't that the truth? On the other hand, Sarah Palin says the Alaska National Guard's ready to protect us from the Russians.
The Russians are coming through Alaska?
Yeah, they're going to march all the way from Moscow to Siberia. That's going to be some tough sledding.
That's insane.
Oh, that's what makes you such a joy, Cassie. Yeah, that is nuts.
Well, good.
That's how they think. I'm so glad you called in and shared your thoughts. You've got for people who want to see the full flower of your thinking, it's over at Political Teen Tidbits, right?
Yes, which is freckleskassie.wordpress.com.
Yeah, and that's CASSIE, freckleskassie.wordpress.com.
Yes.
And this is a great. This is a great letter.
Thank you.
And, you know, when you ask, I'm glad that Bristol decided to have her baby. Will she and her boyfriend raise it? Will they give it up for adoption? Who's going to pay for her to give birth and for all the other doctor visits? I haven't seen it put any more clearly than that, and you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Take care, Cassie. Don't be a stranger. Bye. Hey, good. Hey, keep the nose in the books.
Well, you say those two things at the same time. Don't be a stranger and keep your nose in the books.
Right, but we understand if you're a stranger as long as you're keeping your nose in the books.
Okay.
All right.
Two AP classes, two pre-AP classes, and Spanish.
And debate.
And what?
And debate. You said debate? Yeah. You're going to love debate.
I love it already.
I knew you did. Talk to you soon, bye-bye. Cassie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That's our correspondent from the world of the teen. That's Cassie down in Texas. FrecklesCassie.wordpress.com. Political Teen Tidbits. This is a great letter. This is a great letter she's written to Sarah Palin. I'm guessing Sarah Palin doesn't have the guts to answer that letter. You know how it goes. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
It's time for me to reel you all in.
Oh, yes?
Here we go. Here we go.
I'm taking the bait.
Yes. And hand out the bottom, the iceberg water that I just took from the melting icebergs in the North Pole.
Yes.
You know, the one thing that a lot of people are missing is the fact of if you catch it on Tom Hartman, they were talking about it on Friday, Tom had a tip. Pretty soon, Sarah Palin was going to be knocked out, or she would have to step down. And Tom made a comment that if this is true, this will be a Tom Engleton moment.
Yeah, Thomas Engleton.
Yeah, yes. Now, here's the thing of what's happening in the RNC right now, because I'm listening to you right now, Bob, and I'm catching it, and I'm seeing exactly how this is playing. In the RNC right now, if you were to go into that convention, which Tom is in every single day, talking to the right-wingers, they're not talking about Sarah. That rumor, they are on strict orders not to talk about Sarah. Tom's source came out today and said again for the second time, he said it before they broke the news of all this baby news, this baby soap opera news. One day at a time, or something like that, as the days go by, General Hospital, that kind of thing. And he said that if you go on InTrade, they're trading right now, Sarah, I believe, is at 18.4, that she's going to step down. Now, why do I say that? Well, one of the reasons I say that is because I hang around a website that is a bit shady, has operatives and strategists. I'm not going to name it, but I'll give you the website, Bob. And I also post there. It's an interesting place. It's probably one of the most highly trafficked place for all kinds of strategists, operatives, charlatans, militiamen, just crazies. And they let them all in the door. And at the same time, they let a lot of people who do leaks. And one of the leaks was a post called this. And I just want to read this for people because I think it's important. Sarah Palin's selection as John McCain's VP running mate is intended to end badly within the next 2 to 3 weeks as part of a devious Republican strategy. The McCain Republican strategy never intended for Palin to run the full course of the campaign, and most likely not more than 2 weeks past the end of the Republican National Convention. As a result of attacks on her and the focus on her family, she will resign in shame and disgust. And the McCain campaign then intends to reel the rewards of the resulting sympathy. I have been in contact with a source that has previously provided reliable information on several issues. The strategy is outlined below. Points. Point one, the McCain campaign has long ago quietly picked their VP running mate intended to be on the ticket in November. Point two, Palin has been selected as a Trojan horse target for vocal political firebrands to have a veritable field day. Point three, the strategic response to criticism Palin is a scripted, minimalist retort intended to actually invite more criticism. Point four, key McCain operatives posing as intense liberals will seed blogs and bulletin boards with horrific claims about Palin. Point five, key McCain operatives acting as insider informants will spill minor tidbits from inside the campaign organization to help fuel the negative Palin speculation. Point six, as the criticism reaches its peak and a family secret is exposed by an intensely savage liberal blogger, Palin will resign. Point seven, after an appropriate period of McCain campaign faux indignation and a second VP search, their original choice will be revealed.
All right, and who is the original choice?
We don't know, but then it goes into these points. Among these quietly discussed this rumored strategy, one name continues to emerge. I bet you can guess as a likely architect.
Karl Rove.
And as is typical of the strategic maneuvering of Rove during campaigns, the intended outcome is multifaceted. Point one, the McCain campaign organization intends to reap significant rewards from voters who are showing both sympathy and anger over what has transpired. Point two, the Republican Party insiders expect this issue to become the tipping point that initiates strict media control over political bloggers. point three. The McCain campaign expects the issue to remove examination of familiar matters, family matters from the news, as there are deep issues in Cindy McCain's professional life that could harm them. And point four, the last point, the backlash of the perception resulting from attacking a hockey mom, nice person, and a pregnant 17-year-old daughter will forever damage the Democratic Party, as it is expected they lack the backbone to do anything but apologize.
Some of that rings true with me. Some of it doesn't.
Well, in terms
of the characterization, I don't think it's appropriate to go to Thomas Eagleton, because Thomas Eagleton, his psychiatric treatments were outed, not because George McGovern didn't want him on the ticket.
It was a piece
of hateful political sleaze. However, David, what I said on Friday, I stick to in terms of a characterization. The Sarah Palin nomination is the Harriet Myers nomination for 2008. And Harriet Myers was, in fact, as we know now, a stalking horse. That much is true. She was a stalking horse to get the Republican Party and the Bush administration off the schneid of having to nominate a woman. And then they fell back on good old Sammy, no girls allowed at Princeton, Alito. All that's historical, and all of that is verifiable.
Well, the reason why I brought up the Thomas thing is because Tom was talking about the fact that it is now with what his source is saying right now, is what's happening in the convention right now. They're preparing that for her to step down. In fact, they put the word out not to mention her when they go around and talk to the radio bloggers. See, that's not what you're hearing inside the convention. We're hearing the din of it. But inside the convention is a different story. They're getting ready for her to step down.
I got to tell you, David, I would not be surprised if it happens. I don't see it. I just don't see it, because this has way too much weight and way too much value and way too much force.
Bob, let's go back in the time.
I mean, who are they going to get? Mitt Romney?
Wait.
Who are they going to get? Mitt Romney? They just lit up and energized the right-wing, the snake-handling, strychnine-breathing, floor-rolling, the tongue-speaking evangelical base. They just lit them up and got them excited for the first time in years, and they're gonna crap on them with Romney, because all those people think Romney, being a Mormon, isn't a Christian.
Bob, you just said she was a Harriet Myers, which we could also call AKA a Trojan horse. My point is this: is the fact that who are they gonna get? They're gonna get someone that is right wing. And they're going to play her in the background. She was a pawn from the get-go. And I want people to understand this.
Wait, listen.
The point of this is I'm tying this back together. I'm bringing the loop back. Who started this story? See, that's what a lot of people don't know. Who started it? Who broke it? Who was the first person who broke it? Who broke it mainstream? Who was it?
You mean which part? The nomination?
No, the baby story, the thing that's everything.
Is this where I say Michael Moore?
No, that's not the first.
That line in there that you just mentioned about how, you know, a vicious left-wing blogger will cause her to step down. Well, they're already painting Michael Moore as a vicious left-wing blogger for having questioned Trigg's parentage.
You're close, Bob, but it was actually Daily Coast that did it.
Oh well, they're just ask Bill O'Reilly. They're the same thing as the Nazi Party.
I know, but that's the point, Bob. It was there was a blog. I think it's still up. It's called Sarah for VP. This blog was heavily trafficked, and if this was a strategy to pick someone as a pawn, they've thought this through for a long time.
Well, if that's the case, though, David. Here's the million-dollar question. Does Sarah Palin know that she's a dummy?
I don't think so, no. I don't think they would tell her. because
well, they've got to have her cooperation somewhere along the way in bowing out as the pageant winner, so the first runner-up can assume her duties.
You don't think she's going to bow it? I'm just telling you what's happening in the convention floor right now, Bob. They put a mortem on saying her name. No one's allowed to talk to her, and Tom Hartman said it was really strange. And Tom Source, who came out again today, said 24 to 48 hours, you're going to see something happen.
Well, all we can do with that is wait and see.
And I just want to leave with one thing.
I mean, because the question that... yeah, the question that leaves me with is who's the replacement? The Huckabee, Romney, Giuliani,
Bob. If they're going to
Lieberman.
If they're going to roll with an attack in Iran, I think you know the answer to that.
Lieberman.
There you go.
But Lieberman. Oh, I mean, there was a little war inside the party over Lieberman.
Oh. I know. Because,
again, those fundies who are all excited to have a fetus-loving candidate like Sarah Palin, they were in their quiet little rooms going, but he's a Jew.
Just to add more fuel to the fire, I think, wasn't Fred Thompson readjusted to speak?
He's been readjusted to speak there, but dear God. He's the only guy in consideration who's nearer death than McCain.
Bob, I got to say this again.
I mean, at this point, you're down to Carly Fiorina.
I hope Gary and everyone's listening, because all you have to do is look at the geopolitical world and say, well, okay, if you get two candidates who are both pro-war party and defense party to the gills, what do you think is going to happen then? And how do you think they would overturn the election?
Well, Gary's listening because I just got an email from him saying if David's theory is correct, then the Obama campaign is not playing into Rove's game.
No, that's not the case. They are playing into the game because anyone associated with him, which is AKA the bloggers, which was Daily Coast, you know, they even talked about it. Tom even said, I am not picking up this story for the sole fact that there's just something not right about it. And when Daily Coast came out and said it, they even had people in the Post going, you know, I don't know how much we can really talk about this, because it seems like this story, they were saying, it seems like there's something not right about it. I guess my point is, to the people listening, my point is that, again, whoever fielded the Daily Coast to pick up, to research, to put it out there on the front page to get the fire going, that's what they intended to do. And Sarah is not intended to be the nominee. And like I said, if you go to InTrade right now, her stock is rising that she's not going to be the VP pick.
Well, and even Rachel Maddow has come out on that side of it, David. She has said, I think the question right now is whether or not she will be withdrawn.
Exactly, and that's why I keep going with that they're going to roll out the war party candidate. See, they're not playing games anymore, and you know they're not playing games anymore, Bob. And you know the fact of the tension with Russia and Georgia, Iran. They got a whole playing field. This is a dimensional version, a reality version of Risk, right in front of you, except with better models, Bob, instead of those red pieces that look like blocks. You got some highly detailed models here.
Well, this is all very interesting.
If
it's just theater, it's kind of depressing.
I know, but you have to remember, we're talking all about Sarah. We're not really, and you know what? Every time I've been talking to conservatives too, and I've been feeling, you know what the answer is?
What?
They should leave her alone.
That's right. We can't talk about her. She's a feminist for life, and y'all can't touch her because she's a woman.
And I just wanted to leave with one more thing, because I think it's important. RIP to Don LaFontaine, voiceover artist extraordinaire.
Absolutely, and RIP to Jerry Reed.
Oh, Jerry Reed died today?
Yep, 71 years old, complications from emphysema. Man. I was planning on playing. It doesn't look like I'm going to have a chance to. But, you know, everybody knows Eastbound and Down from Smokey and the Bandit. And
yeah.
When you're hot, you're hot. And Amos Moses or whatever. Everybody knows all those novelty songs. But Jerry Reed was a player.
I like the album he did with Chet Atkins.
And, right. And there's a song out there called The Claw. I have heard it.
Yeah.
It is an instrumental piece. And it's one of those that ought to be labeled, amateur guitar players, do not try this at home. It's one of those where I hear it and I just go, well, you know, okay, I can put my guitar away and give up again.
Well, I think I have the perfect song in mind when you get around to playing all this stuff about Sarah Palin during the week.
Yeah?
Room Full of Mares, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, that works. That works. I was also thinking about Fleetwood Mac, Sarah, Hall & Oates, Sarah Smile. There's the Jefferson Starship, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, one last thing. Totally unrelated. I want to end this on a high note. I hate it when people end on depressing notes. The tombstones and stuff like that. That's no point. I can be the crypt keeper, but I can also be the resurrector.
All right.
There's a great article. When I say great, I say, God damn, is this great. It's in All About Jazz. It's by Chuck. It's on Chuck Lavelle. It covers his whole career. It's amazing. Got to read it.
Cool.
I'll send you the link to that, and I'll send you the link to the post. And just keep in mind what I say, people.
That may be how it plays out.
I'm just, you know what? I'm just fielding out, and I'm just showing you what I see out there on the web that's going.
I got it.
Like I said, everybody, take care.
All right. Thanks, David.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.
Look, it may play out that way. This may be Rovian political theater. Theater or not, however, it raises real issues. When that woman says, respect our privacy, I have a duty to point out that she doesn't believe a right to privacy exists. You know, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, it's okay if you're a Republican. She's got a right to privacy, but you don't. And no woman does. And frankly, no man who wants to go and buy a package of condoms does, because the right to privacy underpins all rights to bodily control. And she doesn't even believe that right exists. It's that simple. Wow, you guys are busy tonight. Let's see, where do we go next? Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? You're on the air. All right. Suddenly got shy, I guess.
And it would be a mistake to...
Hey, Albert, what's up, man?
Oh, am I sitting there rambling to myself?
No, you're rambling to the whole wide world.
Yeah, wonderful. I just was talking to everybody, and I just got to say... I gotta agree with the last two, Gary and David. Going on the daughter is the wrong tactic.
I'm not going after the daughter.
Honestly, the ship is sinking. We're on top of them. We're choking the life out of them. And if we go for this jugular, we're gonna get Gurney Halleck and we're gonna be singing soprano.
All I'm trying to point out, Albert, is that there's a reason for this woman to have been nominated, and the vetting business non-vetting business doesn't speak to me too much, because in fact she was vetted. She was vetted by the right wing. Okay.
Absolutely.
Our buddy Sophie sent this along. An article by our pal Max Blumenthal, Council for National Policy, Hidden Hand Behind McCain-Palin Pick. And Max says, for those who claim that the McCain campaign didn't thoroughly vet their VP nominee before offering her a slot on the ticket, Max Blumenthal puts all concerns to rest. Last week, while the media focused almost obsessively on the DNC spectacle in Denver. The country's most influential conservatives met quietly at a hotel in downtown Minneapolis to get to know Sarah Palin. The assembled were members of the Council for National Policy, an ultra-secretive cabal that works wealthy right-wing donors together with top conservative operatives to plan long-term movement strategy. This is Tony Perkins, James Dobson, Grover Norquist, Tim LaHaye, and Paul Weyrich.
Okay.
She was vetted.
Yeah, Bob, listen, this is what I'm saying. There's twofold to this, as you know. There's the Hillary angle, okay, which is kind of insulting to intelligence, but they do play that low. Okay, and then there's this kid angle. And I'm telling you, the kid angle may be the opening that they're advertising to us. It really certainly is, because you know it is, because if you do go to the forums and you do read what these paid shills, just like the paid anarchists in Minneapolis, that, oh yeah, we hate Nike, so we're gonna throw, rocks through the window. That's not what anarchists do. Okay? Those people are agent provocateurs.
No, real anarchists are more political theoreticians, if you get right down to it.
Hello. Now, that's how it is. We're not gonna go do violence. That's not gonna solve anything. There's less of us than anybody. Are you kidding me? What are you gonna do? Nothing. Now, however, we sit here and listen to these agent provocateurs on the internet talking about, oh yeah, see, they have said, Bob, you said this right in the beginning of the show. I was listening and you said how, now that takes away, we can't say anything about Barack being beige, they call him on the internet. And, now he can't say anything about a woman. And it's like, and that's how they play. I mean, that's a really pathetic mindset, but that's how they play. However, there are the little uber brain insects like Karl Rove, and if he doesn't look like the brain bug from Starship Troopers 1, I don't know who the hell does. Okay, that guy is the brain bug with the little and they had to censor it when they probed it. Anyway,
yeah.
When we sit here and look at a guy like that, okay, he's a little beyond the rest of them little crabs, right, that'll sit there and start regurgitating crap like that, okay? And he's going to sit there and he would do something like what David outlined. He would sit there and make it so, so easy to freaking attack this woman because she's totally clueless, she's totally unprepared, she's completely unqualified, okay, and she's got a freaking hypocritical wart on her freaking eyeball so big that it's almost like to not acknowledge it is almost to be like a hypocrite yourself. Regardless to that, we really have to play to the higher level. Because if they do pull what David's saying they'll pull, and I think, I'll tell you what, I haven't read the article, I don't know what he's talking about, but in my gut of guts, I feel it. Now, I'm a Virgo, and that's my gut, that's my brain down there, and I'll tell you right now, I feel that. You can't sit there and just, and man, if you go down that line, I know it's the path of least resistance, and I know I'm trying to tell lightning bolts to not strike that area, but seriously, that is not the way to do it. If we do that way, we're done. We want her to stay into the end. We want this, because if we want Palin. Palin's awesome. She's awesome, okay? Completely awesome. It's the best thing I've ever heard. It's so funny. It's just hysterical. But we can't sit, yeah, all right, her daughter's a Bhutan. Big deal. That's fine. Whatever. That doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. We can't even go because we have so many other issues with which to destroy them on. And I know I've gone on a rant a little bit, but...
No. I get everything you're saying. I get it. But my God, who are they gonna replace her with? Don't think that they haven't focus grouped every. She is literally the last pickle at the bottom of a rotten barrel.
Bob, well, that's what I'm saying.
When Obama announced that he was picking Joe Biden, that forced their hand, because at that point in time, Albert, they had a pasty-faced, doughy white guy, and they had Sarah Palin. All right. In either case, you got a whiter shade of Palin. Boom. Wait a minute.
I still think this may be a 1-2. It might be that. I mean, it's like Like, we don't have to go for the jugular. We have to go for the Achilles.
Right, but what I'm getting at, though, is this was a very deliberate, cynically politically motivated choice.
It is.
As soon as it was Biden, then they knew it was Palin. Had Obama nominated Kathleen Sebelius, boom. There you go. It would have they would have nominated Joe Lieberman or Jeb Bush. You know, listen, the Bushes never leave the wings of the theater, okay? Elvis does not leave the building.
No,
Jebby is still...
Oh, hang on. I'm getting a transmission. Bob, maybe that's why Giuliani's not giving his speech. Ugh.
No. You can't pair prostate cancer and face cancer. You just can't. No, it's like white wine with beef. No.
I don't know, bud. But did you think this freaking PTA mother from Alaska was going to have anything?
Okay, so she has to step out, and they bring in who? Kay Bailey Hutchison? Now, there's an attack dog.
What about Mary Maitland, whatever her name is?
No. No, she only likes to stand at the edges of the swamp. She doesn't like to wade into it.
She likes to be in the shadows.
And plus, she's married to old Snakehead, and that just, you know, he won't vet. Kay Bailey Hutchison, okay. Mike Huckstaby. Mike Huckstaby's the only one that would light up the evangelicals like this woman has. And I'm telling you, it was a choice about lighting up the fundies.
It is, but Bob, that's why I'm saying to you, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. It doesn't matter. They're only going to get it lit if we give them the sparks. They're going to get it lit if we give it to them. We can't. If we give them this hatred, okay, it's like Darth Vader and we're Luke Skywalker, man. If they sit there and we pull this crap and we let hatred run us, we're done.
Just for the sake of argument, check out James Dobson. Now, okay, James Dobson has said in the past, there is practically no way I could ever vote for John McCain, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, check out James Dobson today.
Other criticisms, of course, focus on the fact
this is
now
him
that
with Laura Ingraham.
Sarah Palin has five kids, and all these conservatives are supposed to be all about stay-at-home moms and putting kids first, and how can she be vice president of the United States with not just four kids, and then you have a fifth kid with Down syndrome? Isn't this incredibly difficult? And what are your thoughts on that?
I think that is her choice. That's a personal matter. That's in her own family. And she seems to be doing it well. She loves her kids. She loves her family. Just a little thing, Laura. I don't know if anybody has read this, but I saw it, that when she was elected governor, she eliminated the position of chef at the mansion because she wanted to do the cooking for her own family. I mean, this is a very unique, special lady.
You get it? You got the message?
I hear that. But Bob, here's a video game reference. Anybody's ever played Street Fighter 2?
Because remember, wait, before we go there for just a second. Remember, in talking with David, I said, if anything, this is the Harriet Myers nomination for 2008. When Harriet Myers was named, do you remember who it was, among others, who came out and blistered her? James Dobson.
Yeah, and Falwell, when he was still alive at that time, wasn't he?
They wore her out.
Yeah, they did. But Bob, that's their ace card. They keep trying to play that stuff. It's just not going to work. It's failing. It's done.
Well, they've never done anything with it. They've had the chance to overturn Roe versus Wade for just about 8 years now. They have no intention of overturning it, but they believe that they can continue to motivate the right wing, the fundamentalists, the, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it crowd. They can keep dragging them to the polls by bringing them one more person who says, I think abortion's got to be illegal. You know, I got a beautiful email today from our buddy Tosh talking about it. He's under the impression, and I think it's a valid impression and it's a valid theory with regard to abortion. He says, at this point, in an honest way, the Democratic platform is significantly more pro-life than the GOP platform. The GOP platform wants to make abortion illegal. This will, according to proven statistics, reduce abortions by up to 23%, not counting the 26% of women who will be hurt by these illegal abortions. The Democratic platform wants to keep abortion, but wants to build programs to give pregnant women real options with the goal of lowering abortion rates by 50%. Tosh says, as I will continue to point out, the eventual target of the pro-life movement is the Christian church in America. When pro-lifers are successful, they will be alienating 800,000 to 5,600,000, depending on how many people are close to each abortionee, against the church every year. They are literally fashioning a new, twisted, evil, you know, Son of Sam version of what they call Christianity for America. It's fascist, it's totalitarian, it's authoritarian.
Yep. And I just got to say, you know, I've always said it. McCain, when I hear his name and I look at his little cancer-riddled freaking Q-tip head, all I can think of is Robert Duvall in The Handmaid's Tale. And I just think of that movie and atmosphere.
I know.
And seeing her in it, it certainly paints that. And that's a frightening thing.
And I love
horrible.
I love another email I've gotten in here. David in Tennessee saying, attack the daughter, the daughter Palin, Bristol. Certainly not. But he says, but please, dear friends, may we please, please question the mother that talks values, but has led her own daughter into an aborted teenage life and a forestalled young adulthood devoid of the joys that span of life can yield. May we, and this is all in bold, may we please pursue the disease and not the symptom.
Amen. Amen-Ra, no doubt about it. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be, but the other thing is that we don't even need to use that bullet. We have so many other bullets on this woman. It's unbelievable. We have so many other ways to feather this person. Okay? I mean, real quick, Bob. I mean, Montana, okay? You look at Montana, right? Now, Montana is one of the main Democrats there. You look at any state. Okay? Barack Obama and John McCain. Barack Obama doubles and triples John McCain's voting numbers by himself. I mean, it's just unbelievable. This is what I'm saying. We have such a heads up that, you know, they talk about these protesters. You know, I was almost going to go. I've just been too busy for the past, you know, August. You know, so I didn't wind up going out to Minneapolis. But, you know, I was sitting there thinking of going because, you know, they had packages and this and this and that. And I would like to see. I would even, you know, not for nothing, I probably would have brought my children. But then again, I kind of wouldn't because I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I'm not there because this is the kind of crap that happens, okay? Now, we get back to that agent provocateurs, and we can sit there and talk about, you know, going after their weakest areas, okay? And I'm telling you, just as an anarchist don't want to throw a brick through a window, okay, because it's not going to solve nothing, right? And the way an agent provocateur would want to do something like that in order to paint any sort of alternative idea as, you know, evil, you know, it's the same way that going after even her for even the child, man. It's almost like the kind of thing is there's so much against her. There's so many other targets that we can completely take her out from the feet, take her out from the shins, take her out from the knees, and just go on up.
Helicopter safaris going out to shoot wild dogs.
Seceding from Alaska, making Alaska secede from the United States.
Yeah, membership in a party that wants to engage in secession. You know, we had a little dust up about the whole secession issue at one point, I thought, but maybe it's me. Yeah, she's a nut. I mean, she's a real sold American crazy.
Let's not make her look like a mother defending her child. Let's not make her the victim. They've been playing the goddamn victim for so long, they slide into it easier than a pair of gold-toed socks. Those people are victims by profession. Okay, that's the only way they're ever going to be able to rape us the way they do. And I'm telling you, we need to make her look like the maniac she is. My goodness, it's too easy. To go after that, man, that's the easy way. There's so many other easy tasks that you could just sit there and make her look like. And we can start laughing again, and it'll be a beautiful day. Because I'm telling you, there's way too many people now mobilized to vote. Man, we can't give those people any sympathy. None. If we give them sympathy in that respect, okay, and we let them look like, oh, see, they're just torturing us before they kill us.
Okay, but
like
all right. But I'm gonna be a nattering nabob of negativity. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
We go after her for blowing away wolves from a helicopter. Well, see, y'all's just liberals, and you don't think nobody should be able to hunt wolves with guns. You're gonna take away our guns. All right. How's that one? She was part of a crazy ass political movement in Alaska. That wants to secede from the union. Well, see, y'all just saying that because she's a woman. You're for women's rights, but if she speaks up for good conservative family values, you don't. Well, yeah, she's nuts. All right. pick another one.
The bridge. She's been in the spotlight for 2 minutes, and she's already given a bigger gaffe than even McCain. She's totally lied about that, about with the bridge to nowhere.
Well, that's just because liberals are mad at John McCain because he's going to take their earmarks away too.
But Bob, those people are tiny. Those are the little ones. That's the little group. Okay, that's the militia guys out in the middle of Idaho. Okay, that's not. Making this woman.
What I love is what Cassie brought up, the idea that the entire state of Texas is pissed off at her for endangering her little baby. and flying off to, I'm sure that there's a lot of people in Texas that think, you know, if you go to the hospital in Alaska, they treat you with, you know, seal blubber or something.
Probably. But that's a good point. That is a good point. But guess what? If we sit there and make this woman look like a victim, okay, we make her.
But my point is, they're going to be a victim no matter what we do to them, because, as you put it, that's the costume they wear best.
Yeah, but what if we don't feed the app? If we don't give them any point, which was to go, we don't have to even acknowledge her as a woman in that respect. We can say, yeah, she's a great mother. That's fine. But listen to what she said about the bridge to nowhere. Listen to what she talked about in terms of, you know, nonsense about getting, girl, you hurt my sister's feelings, and now I want you fired. And all this other nonsense of abusing power. No experience whatsoever. There ain't no experience with the National Guard. That's a bunch of garbage. The federal government controls it. Active duty reserve units. Not the governor, unless there's a typhoon or a tornado or some nonsense.
Right, and she, well, the at this point in time, the National Guards of just about every state remain nationalized.
Mm-hmm.
Once the president declares the National Guard to have been nationalized, I don't care which governor you are, you ain't controlling diddly about your National Guard.
Exactly. I mean, now, I don't know if the governor in Alaska is as powerful as the governor in Texas, but as we all knew with that wasn't very much to do with anything, was it? I mean, but and to sit there and try to pretend like she's got some sort of Steve Doocy prophesized freaking foreign experience because she's close to Russia. Come on, dude. Come on. What is that? That's what I mean. That's how weak their argument is, and we sit there and go after her for being, oh, her child, 17, and has a baby.
Yeah. I'm an expert. Right. I live very close to a really, really complex single arch span steel bridge. That makes me a bridge builder. I mean, under the Doocy rule, yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, though. That's how pathetic that is. And if we go after her for being, if we make her look like, oh, just a, you know, a mama bear protecting her cubs, it's, that's going to give them the fuel and the sparks that they need to get some sympathy up. And it will be close if that happens. If we can sit there and resist this temptation to sit there and go, man, your daughter is a Blutana Dinabla, and you're going to sit there and try to tell us how we should, you know, come on, your kids are set for life. Who are you going to sit there and try to tell us? And if we sit there and do that, we're going to wind up with a Handmaid's Tale in 2010. Literally.
Yeah, look, I mean, right? I know it's hard to believe, but I was young once, too. And you know what? I've seen the photographs. If I was an 18-year-old kid, boy in Alaska, I'd be happy to be dating that. All right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but okay, wait. We have reached the point in the program where we have to do our obligatory Idiocracy reference.
Ah.
Okay.
I was hoping. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, well, you knew. So the boy, the father, baby daddy, had a MySpace page. It has been sanitized, but not before Levi Johnston's MySpace account had several screenshots taken of it.
Nice.
All right, Mom, Dad, if little Timmy and little Susie are in the room and you haven't had the discussion about the fun words yet, run them out of the room. Go tell them to watch the Backyardigans or something. That song is burnt into my brain, by the way. If you've never seen the Backyardigans, it's done to me things that the Barney theme could not begin to have done. It's just awful.
Evil.
Okay, here's the entry from Levi Johnston, the baby daddy. Fun words coming. I'm a fucking redneck who likes to snowboard and ride dirt bikes, but I live to play hockey. I like to go camping and hang out with the boys, do some fishing, shoot some shit, and just fucking chilling, I guess. You fuck with me, I'll kick ass. Status, in a relationship. Children. Status, in a relationship. Children, I don't want kids. Okay? You know who Levi Johnston is?
Oh, that was wonderful.
He's in the beginning of Idiocracy.
Mm-hmm.
With a football uniform on and three cheerleaders around him.
I'm gonna fuck all y'all.
I'm gonna fuck all y'all tonight. Mm-hmm.
Get your hands off my junk.
Oh, if you haven't seen Idiocracy yet, you really, really must. This is that kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Children, I don't want kids.
Too easy, bud.
Oh, see, I so want him. I want him at the... No, I do. I want him at the press conference. Because, you know, right-wing Republicans, they're all about personal responsibility, right? Right, Albert? Personal responsibility, dang it. And I want, you know, at what point in time did you decide you wanted kids?
See.
Well, long about the time they promised me a 12-gauge four-shot enema, that's when I wanted the kids.
Yeah, but that's why we won't see him until he's been well-trained. And if we wind up giving her sympathy, we'll have this special snowflake as VP choice one day, or CEO of Hardy or Carl's Jr. or Costco or Brando. We don't need this. That's what I mean. And that's a wonderful, beautiful
thing. What America needs. It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes. I love you, Bob. You're the best.
I'm sorry. That really did happen to me the very instant that I read that. I went, oh, this is the guy from Idiocracy. And I'm on all y'all tonight. Albert, have yourself a great evening. We're almost plumb fresh out of show.
I'll talk to you later, Bob.
All right, take care, my brother.
Always, brother. Later.
Bye now. I know. I get it. Not supposed to be mean to I'm all over that. And I'm not trying to be mean to the little girl. I can't imagine. I don't care if you're filthy, stinking rich or dirt poor. 17 and pregnant is tough. Because it's still pregnant. And mama going to make you carry that baby to term, and you're going to carry resentment for that child. And daddy, daddy's going to look at that baby every day and say, wait a minute, what did the kid say? Here we go. Daddy's going to look at him and say, well, baby, you're the reason I ain't riding no dirt bikes. You're the reason I ain't snowboarding. You're the reason I ain't playing hockey no more. I used to live to play hockey. Now I live to buy baby food. Now I live to change diapers. Now I live to get puked on. Everything in my life smells of baby vomit now, baby. You're the reason I ain't going camping and hanging out with the boys and doing some fishing and shooting some and just chilling. You done with me, and I can't kick your baby ass. I have great sympathy for adolescent mothers. Because this ain't Clan of the Cave Bear. This is the 21st century. And you know what? Getting started at the, from an evolutionary standpoint, and I understand that she doesn't believe in that, but from an evolutionary standpoint, when your life spans about 35 years before the bear eats you, or 45 if you die of old age, then you best get started breeding at 12, because 12 is full grown. But this is not that. And it may be Alaska up there, but it is not necessary to have 82 children so that you can, you know, dig the potatoes out from under the frozen earth. This is... Well, that poor child's life is... screwed up. And it ain't gonna get unscrewed. And it's just sad. It's just sad. And we gotta have, if it's gonna be that rough on that 17-year-old born into privilege and wealth, then what is it for the 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old who isn't? And I think that's as valid a question and as valid a discussion as we can have in this country. Philip writes back in and says, the key here is to reach the sensible Christians, Catholics, and others that are not the knuckle-dragging fundamentalists who are being led to believe that she's a good Christian like they believed Bush was. No one's advocating going after the daughter. But I still think after the hypocrites and the abstinence-only issue is something that needs to be done. I have spoken to neighbors who are people of faith that were considering voting for McCain until I explain the hypocrisy and the way the Republicans manipulate people of faith. Family values means not using your child to back up your political ideology by making her marry and give birth at age 17. Right there with you, Philip. Right there with you. So that's the program for this evening. Thank you. Wow. Everybody jumped in and made for some great conversation radio tonight. Let's see. Programming notes before we close up shop for the evening and set up for Strictly Confidential coming your way in just a matter of moments. again, we will be talking with Mark Carlin tomorrow night, the man who founded BuzzFlash and the man who has set up this progressive working class conference in Philadelphia September 27th. Stick around for that. That'll come your way in tomorrow night's program. We are raising funds, and we have gotten a substantial part of the way there thanks to great folks like Aaron and Maura and Preston. Well over halfway there, but we still need some help. We're trying to raise at least $1,000 to take care of, you know, car rental, gasoline, hotels. Ain't no such thing as traveling light nor traveling cheap anymore. So just if you want to help, use either the snail mail address, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, Paul Mary Boy, 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801, or just use the contribute button for PayPal at headonradionetwork.com. We'll be there, and we will be we'll be taking a substantial step, I do believe, in helping a lot of folks to know exactly who and what the horn is. And we'll make that conference available for folks who have no way of getting to Philadelphia. No show Thursday. We're doing some family values here. It is the boys' first honest-to-goodness middle school football game. He'll probably see some playing time, and being as how I am his daddy, I'm about busting with pride, and I want to be there to see it. So we'll have some off Thursdays in coming weeks for football games. Season lasts about 8 weeks. Next week is going to be a little bit dodgy because I'm on the road going to a seminar to do some real live honest-to-goodness learning. If I can hook up internet access, I will still do a show from there. If I can't, I won't. But that'll be Tuesday through Friday of next week. So be advised. And you'll just have to check in to see if, you know, we're actually going. Thanks, everybody. Like I said, wow, what a night. Thanks for the emails. Thanks for the telephone commentary. Thanks for your thoughts and comments in the chat room, headonradionetwork.com. The chat room there is free, and you can jump in with the group there and share your thoughts and make it a full multimedia experience. Thanks to those of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us, keeping the horn on the air. Thanks to those of you who share your time with us, your ever-so-finite precious time, to join in the conversation either actively or just by listening and sharing your thoughts any way you choose. Thank you to those of us who, those of you who put the horn at the bottoms of your emails so that other people hear about us when you send emails out. This is all a concerted effort to create real, live, honest-to-goodness, independent media. And you make me prouder than I can possibly know by standing with us to create it. Thanks to Peter Godbold, John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch. Thanks to the fine, hard-working, brave folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. Go sign the petition if you haven't already. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.